All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show, starring Michael, Mark Antonini, Ray, and tonight's special contributor, Sam. Let's throw it down to Sam on the dugout.
Well, hey, baseball fans, Ironbirds fans, those at home and those here at Leidos Field, Ripken Stadium today, I want to fill you in on what you may have missed yesterday. I'm going to do a little demonstration here. Now, this is a baseball. Professional baseball players throw a pitch, professional baseball players hit them. They say the ball can look a little different depending on who's up at the plate. This is an average baseball. This is what an average baseball player is going to see when a professional player throws the ball at them. This is a little bead. This is what I would see if I was batting and I was trying to hit a pitch. This is about how big the ball would look to me. Hopefully a little bigger for some of you average Joes out there. I'm a little well below talent. Now, last night, if you weren't here and if you weren't following from home, this is what the ball looked like for the Aberdeen Ironburn batters. Just a big old meatball floating up to the plate. Will it be this big again tonight? Find out. Let's toss it over to the guys on the dugout.
Appreciate it. Michael, Mark Antony, and Ray Atkinson here. Big shout out to my guy, Sam Serco. Sam, I'm going to be honest, I didn't know where you're going with that, but I love where you went with it. I appreciate that. So, Ray, this is a big air show because we're going to recap what just happened in last night's win. So, a season high tying 11 hits for the Ironbirds, 5 extra base hits. Third time in the last 4 games that the Ironbirds racked up 5 extra base hits in a game. Pretty impressive right there.
The ball was flying out of here in Leidos Field Ripken Stadium, as Sam said earlier. A bunch of meatballs being thrown over the plate, and it did not disappoint last night. It was a great show for the Ironbirds, especially the offense, especially on the base paths, especially pitching. They delivered as a team last night.
Well, Cameron Weston turned in 4 2/3 scoreless innings to extend his scoreless inning streak to 14 2/3 on the year. But we've talked a lot about him. We've talked a lot about the pitching. How about the offense last night, Ray? And a few contributors for the Birds. Elio Prado smacked 2 doubles and drove in a season-high 4 runs for the Ironbirds. How about Jalen Vasquez with his first career homer? He's also scored 3 runs and stole 2 bags. And then Tavian Josenberger, 3 more hits. He reached base safely 4 times, including a walk, and drove in 2 runs.
And that Jalen Vasquez home run, that had to be the biggest bat flip I've ever seen. You get your first pro home run, flip the bat. It's pretty awesome last night. He crushed it, and it was no doubt from the very beginning. So that was impressive.
Yeah, Ray, it's just, I mean, you hit your first home run, you might as well admire it for a little bit. The bat flip was awesome. Really impressive to see what Jalen did at the plate, what really all the Ironbirds did at the plate. A season high tying 11 hits. They'll look to do it again tonight, and we'll see what they do in game 2 of this 6-game series. So, Ray, before we go any further on the air show, tell us what's going on at the ballpark tonight and the rest of this series.
Hey, what's going on, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium? How y'all doing tonight? All right, as you saw Sam earlier, he had himself a meatball. We're going to have a meatball race later on in the inning. We're going to have Zor balls, of course, and a bunch of in-game fun and entertainment for you all here tonight. We got the Ripper! How about the Ripper? Give it up for him! With his patented cowbell, the Ripper is always on top. So now, we have ourselves, later on in the series, Bark in the Park, April 27th. If you haven't already, get your tickets at GoIronBirds.com. And any game going on, this series is going on until Sunday, and it is going to be a can't-miss series. You all need to be here at Leidos Field Ripken Stadium. This is the place to be in spring. It feels good. I'm feeling pretty good. We're going to get a win tonight. Let's bring on back the co-host.
All right, Ray, appreciate you hyping up the crowd as usual, getting us set for game 2 of a 6-game series between the Ironbirds and the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. That'll do it for another edition of the Air Show. We've got a fun broadcast tonight. I've got co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, Zach Bollinger, joining me on the broadcast, my first of many broadcast guests so far this year. So, Ray, let's have some fun at the ballpark again tonight as the Ironbirds go for their 3rd straight win overall and looking for their 2nd win of this series. You know how to end it, my man.
Let's fly.
it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. What's that? Hawaiian noises. He's banging on the bundles like a chimpanzee. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing. Get your chicks for free. We got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators.
It's another beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set for game two of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, getting you set for game two of this series. Big win for the Birds last night, 9-2 over the Blue Claws in the series opener. The Birds never trailed in the game. The bats were hot. The pitching was excellent. And with the win last night, the Birds improved to 7-9 on the season. They come into tonight's game in last place in the South Atlantic League North Division, but just four games out of first place. They sit with a plus 18 run differential. And then on the flip side, the Blue Claws dropped to 8-8 with the loss last night. They are three games out of first, tied for fifth in the Sally League North Division. They have a plus 15 run differential. On air a couple minutes early tonight because I am not flying solo for the first time this season. I've got somebody in the chair next to me here in the broadcast booth, and I'm happy to introduce my first guest color commentator of the season. It is Zach Bollinger, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show. Zach, thanks so much for being here today. It's great to have you.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for having me. Where else would you rather be right now than Ripken Stadium about to watch the Aberdeen Ironbirds play some baseball?
Yeah, so you co-host a show with Ryan Ripken. You're in Ripken Stadium right now. You just can't get away from that name.
Yeah, it seems like I just can't escape it. He actually sent me a text. I said, I'll try to keep the place nice.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, you know, you had the honor this season of being my first guest color commentator. Ryan had that honor last year. He joined me twice, so we're going to have to bring him in, bring him back here at some point. But it's great to have you here, and always fun to talk ball and We'll talk a little minor league action throughout the broadcast tonight. We'll talk some O's, some big league stuff, and we'll just have fun. You know, like I was telling you before we came on air, you know, it's nice to just have somebody else in the booth with me so I'm not talking to myself for 3 hours.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, baseball's fun, but when you have to talk to yourself for a long time, that can definitely get old. So I'm excited to be the first guy on. A little bit of pressure, but I'll try to, you know, get the ball rolling hot for the rest of the guests going.
So before I get into tonight's pitching matchup and starting lineup, I'm just going to have Zach kind of introduce himself to the audience out here in Birdland. So, Zach, you know, I just mentioned how you co-host the Ryan Ripken Show with Ryan. You're doing a ton of media stuff, podcasts, you know, on-camera stuff, and you're really doing some cool stuff, which we'll get into. But just give the fans at home who are watching and listening to tonight's broadcast some info on you.
Yeah, so Baltimore born and raised, so obviously I've been a lifelong Orioles fan. Wanted to get into media the second I realized I could not hit a curveball or any pitch that actually moves. So went from, hey, maybe I'm a major leaguer to wouldn't it be cool to cover the major leagues? And through Twitter, my handle is at ZachBollinger18. I've been able to meet a lot of cool people. Then ended up on the Ryan Ripken Show and has really just had a blast there ever since, you know, getting to talk to a lot of awesome people and some of the guys you get to see out there every day.
Yeah, it's really cool to see, like, the journey that you've had from, you know, maybe not even really knowing Ryan and some of these people a year ago, and then to see what you guys have done growing the following for the show. You've really built up your social media following, especially on Twitter, or X as they now call it. But it's really cool to see the following that you've built, and that's how we got connected. So I ended up following you on Twitter because I was seeing some of your tweets because Ryan retweeted them, or, you know, I was seeing some posts with you guys tagged together. And so then I just reached out and I said, hey, would you want to join me on a broadcast? And here we are as my first guest color commentator of the season. So, I mean, the power of social media, especially in sports, is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really put into perspective how awesome it's been just over the past few months, being able to get in touch with Ryan. And really, like you said, it's always through social media, and it's the power of, if you just go out there and do something you love and try to work at it every day, eventually the right places, you will find, you know, the right situations for yourself. And I'm lucky enough that throughout that, Ryan reached out to me, gosh, wow, 7 months ago at this point, and we've been going strong ever since.
It's really cool, and I know that you guys are going to do a lot of big things over the next few months, the next few years, and, you know, we'll talk about that throughout the broadcast tonight. You know, we've got 9 innings of baseball to cover, so it'll be fun. But I asked you when you got to the ballpark today, if you've ever been here, and you're from less than an hour away from Ripken Stadium, and you've had a chance to take in a few games as a fan, so tell me about that.
Yeah, I remember this vivid game about 10 years ago. I was sitting right behind the third base dugout, away team dugout, and I think I had two opportunities to catch a foul ball and didn't get either. So that, you know, maybe – I know we got the net here tonight, but maybe something I can get a little redemption of foul ball back into the media box.
You know what? I wouldn't put it out of the question, because last season I had two foul balls up in the broadcast booth. Nobody injured, nothing broken, which was great. I always have my glove up here. I'm glad you reminded me, because I always have the glove up here in the booth. Pretty much any left-handed batter has a chance to foul one into this broadcast booth. So you might get an opportunity tonight. You might go home with a souvenir. I don't know if I want to see that happen or if I just don't want a ball anywhere near this booth.
Yeah, I say that I'd want it to happen. That'd be a cool opportunity. But I'm telling you, the second that a ball gets anywhere closest, I'm hitting the deck, and you're responsible for catching that. But then I will tell the story and completely change it and say that I was the one who played hero.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with me. I'm the one with the leather up here. I have to take charge. This is my booth, so I got to take charge. Well, we are just a couple minutes away from baseball here in Aberdeen. The Ironbirds are waiting to take the field as we get set for first pitch in Game 2 of this six-game series. Right-hander Levi Wells gets the ball for the Ironbirds. He is making his fourth appearance all starts this year. And on the flip side, it's right-hander Gene Cabrera for Jersey Shore. Cabrera, a young right-hander from Venezuela. So those two will go at it tonight. And we will get you the starting lineups on the flip side of the anthem. It's Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger joining you in the broadcast booth tonight in Aberdeen. Zach is my first of what I hope to be many guest color commentators joining me throughout the season in Aberdeen. Really, a series that I'm putting together as a way to connect with Birdland, really the Birdland faithful out there, fans, people within the media, whoever. But, Zach, you've got the honor of being the first, and I think it's going to be a really cool series that I'm putting together, bringing people on.
Yeah, I'm excited to be the first one, you know, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully I don't ruin it for the rest of them.
No, I think you're gonna. What's going to happen is you're going to set a high bar, and they're going to come in here and be like, I don't think I can do it anymore.
We can hope.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we get Ryan back in here, he's going to have big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and I'll let him know it, too. I'll let him know that the pressure is totally on him. So.
For sure. Well, the Ironbirds have taken the field. They are out and waiting for the national anthem. And with the anthem coming up, we will step off the headsets. But when we come back, we'll get you the starting lineups ahead of Game 2 of this six-game series between the Ironbirds and Blue Claws. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger back with you on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Game 2 of a six-game series between the South Atlantic League North Division rivals, the Ironbirds and the Blue Claws. Levi Wells and the Birds are out on the field, and Wells is just about set to start his warm-up tosses, and while he throws those warm-up pitches, we'll get you the starting lineups in tonight's game. First for Felipe Alou Jr.'s Aberdeen Ironbirds, they will line up like this. In the leadoff spot and playing center field, it's Tavian Josenberger. Elio Prado is the designated hitter. He bats second. Mac Horvath back in the lineup tonight. He's at third base, batting third. Matthew Etzel in the cleanup spot, playing right field. Creed Willems, who leads the South Atlantic League in a bunch of offensive categories, is behind the plate, batting fifth. Carter Young is in the six-hole, playing second base. Jalen Vasquez, who hit his first pro homer last night, is in the seven-hole at shortstop. Ryan Higgins back in the lineup tonight as well. He's at first base, batting eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, It's the left fielder Reed Trimble behind right-hander Levi Wells. So one more time, 1 through 9, Josenberger, Prado, Horvath, Edsel, Willems, Young, Vasquez, Higgins, Trimble. On the flip side for Greg Brodzinski's Jersey Shore Blue Claws, it's Justin Crawford in the leadoff spot. He's playing center field. Otto Kemp is the second baseman. He bats second. Leandro Pineda over at first base tonight. He bats third. Felix Reyes is the designated hitter in the four spot. Troy Schreffler in the lineup tonight in left field, batting fifth. Andrik Nava is the catcher. He's in the six hole. Zach Arnold over at third base, batting seventh. Eric Brito is the shortstop. He bats eighth. And Cade Fergus, the right fielder, rounds out the lineup, batting ninth. So one more time, 1 through 9 for the Claws. It's Crawford, Kemp, Pineda, Reyes, Schreffler, Nava, Arnold, Brito, Fergus. So right-hander Levi Wells is just about finished his warm-up tosses, and that means we are just about set for baseball here in the Dean, back at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium for another game here. It is the eighth home game of the season for the Ironbirds, their 17th game overall. And for the first time this season, I am not flying solo. I've got Zach Bollinger riding shotgun next to me. And Zach, it's good to have you here again, my man.
Yeah, exciting to be here. And I will say, right off the rip, first thing I'm noticing is Creed Willems' hair is everything it is hyped up to be. Even from the booth, the flow is absolutely incredible. I've heard a lot of great things, but happy to see it in person.
Everything you heard is true. First pitch of the night from Wells misses downstairs to Crawford, and the count is quickly 1-0. Just underway here in Aberdeen, Crawford, Kemp, Pineda, the top three for the Claws. Wells out of the windup, kicks and fires 1-0. Missed just a little bit inside, it's 2-0.
Thought he caught the corner there. Man, you're not going to be upset if you're a pitcher. You're going to be upset if you're not getting that call, but that's definitely a good place for him to be living.
2-0 pitch coming from Wells. Misses low and inside. Well, Levi Wells is out there for the fourth time this season. His three previous appearances all starts. 7 1/3 innings of work so far for Levi. 8 strikeouts, 7 walks. 22-year-old. A fourth-round pick out of Texas State last summer, and he fires his first strike of the night. It's now 3-1 on the left-handed hitting outfielder Crawford.
Yeah, and that's something. You brought up the walks. You definitely want to see him get a better idea there. Get the foul ball. You definitely want to see him lower the walks, you know, get that strikeout-to-walk ratio a little bit more separated than the 1-1 it's pretty much at right now. So love seeing him battle back in this count.
So 3-2 after the foul ball. And Wells has a chance to come all the way back here. Payoff pitch, breaking ball missed just inside, and Crawford flips his bat back towards the third base dugout. And it's a leadoff walk for Crawford and the Blue Claws. Let's set the defense for the Ironbirds. Creed Willems doing the catching tonight. Mac Horvath over at third base with Jalen Vasquez at shortstop. On the right side of the infield, it's Carter Young at second base and Ryan Higgins playing first. In the outfield, left to right, it's Reed Trimble, Tavian Josenberger, and Matthew Edsel. First pitch to the two-hole hitter, Otto Kemp, misses low and away. Count is 1-0. No score, top of the first inning, just underway. Ironbirds in Blue Claws. Birds with a commanding and dominant 9-2 win in last night's series opener. Looking to extend their winning streak to 3 games tonight. Move over to first, runner back safely. Kemp did not play in last night's game, but he is in the lineup tonight. In fact, there are 5 players in tonight's Blue Claws lineup that did not see action last night, so a much different look. Another move over to first. This one a little bit closer.
Well, I guess when you know you have such a big loss, maybe you just want to switch something up, get some new guys in there, new blood out there, and see if you can change something up in this next game.
3 Ironbirds pitchers held the Blue Claws to just 2 runs on 6 hits last night. Pitch from Wells catches the outside corner, 1-1. And really, that's what we're seeing tonight, Zach. Very new look lineup. A lot of different names in there, and last night it was a very left-handed heavy lineup for Jersey Shore. Tonight it's more right-handed heavy. Snap throw to first by Willems. Nice job by Higgins to snatch that one off of the turf and keep that in front. So Crawford the runner back safely.
Noticing right away that it really feels like Wells is, he's missing, he's pulling the ball down inside for lefties and outside for righties. And when he gets it extended up,
Crawford takes off for second. Throw down was there in time, but it went off of Young's glove into shallow right center. It's a stolen base for Justin Crawford. And the Blue Claws have a man in scoring position. Nice throw by Willems. It went into the turf, but that might have been by design as it went right to Young, but off the tip of that glove.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, I'm not going to lie, when he got that throw off, it looked really good at first. Had the one hopper right to the glove, right where you want to get the tag. Fortunately, it was bang-bang play, and ball kind of trickles into center field. Luckily, though, no runner advancement.
Crawford stays at second after the stolen base. Count is 2-2 on Otto Kemp. No score, top of the first inning. Claws and Birds here in the Dean. Wells battling the shadows out on the infield. Comes set, has his sign. And the 2-2, swing and a miss. Good fastball there on the outer half, and Kemp went after it, came up empty. So one out here in the top of the first, and Levi Wells picks up the strikeout. That brings up Leandro Pineda, the left-handed hitting first baseman. Umpires in tonight's game, it's John Forster behind home plate and Travis Brewer on the bases. Those two will flip-flop throughout the rest of the series. And here is Pineda, one of two left-handed hitters in this lineup. Swings at the first pitch and lines one to left center. That's down in front of Josenberger. Crawford coming around third, and he is in to score. So 1-0 Blue Claws on the Pineda RBI single.
Great job by Josenberger there just to be able to play that ball, because that got a wild hop off the ground there in the grass. And just being able to stay in front of that, keep the guy at first base. Obviously, you hate giving up a run this early in the game, but keep the double play intact. You're now one pitch away still from getting out of this inning.
Yeah, and Crawford didn't break right away from second because the ball was in the area to see if it would get caught. Here's Felix Reyes, takes a strike, and you know, it just shows you how fast he is, able to score without a throw. But Wells, after the strikeout, gives up the RBI single. He'll look to limit the damage. 1-0 Blue Claws, and the count is quickly 0-1 on Reyes. Designated hitter in tonight's game, he was at first base yesterday. Pineda with a healthy lead. Pitch outside. It's 1-1.
Yeah, like you said, man, what wheels out there by Crawford. Has to delay because it looked like possibly getting caught, and then just immediately, without hesitation, goes and scores.
Big hole on the right side. Next pitch, low and away. Counts 2-1. Wells has four pitches to work with. He has a four-seam fastball, a changeup, a curveball, and a slider. He sits 93-96 with the fastball, and he's topped at 98, so you know he can pump it in there. Had a very successful college career. Finished it at Texas State last year. Move over to first, runner back. The O's liked Wells enough to take him in the fourth round of the draft last year. Last year's draft was very pitcher-heavy for Mike Elias and company, whereas maybe I'd say the 3 years prior were very position player-heavy. 2-1, swing and a miss.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely last year was the first time. It's actually, we're seeing a lot of that's back-to-back throwbacks by Creed Williams that have not been handled by Wells, so not sure what's going on there. First time I've really seen that.
You know what? Last home series we saw this, where the shadows early on during these night games, it's, you know, that throwback from the catcher to the pitcher, it's right in that pitcher's sight line. So it looks like that's what happened. Pineda takes off for second. Throw from Willems right on the money. The tag from Young, and they got him. Creed Willems cuts down Leandro Pineda trying to take second. And just like that, there are two outs here in the first.
What a throw by Creed Willems. We talked about beautiful throw, the first attempt to try to get a guy out. Bounces into center field, this time right on the money. You cannot throw a ball better than that down to second.
3-2, swing and a miss. And just like that, Levi Wells is out of the top of the first. He gave up a run on a hit, but that is it in the inning. No errors, no one left on Creed Willems. Thrown out an attempted base stealer at second, helping Wells get through that top of the first. So 1-0 Claws after a half inning of play here in the Dean. We'll go to the bottom half after this break and see if the Ironbirds can get on the board. Keep it locked on MILB-TV, Bally Live, and WAMD Aberdeen. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini with you on the call. I've got Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show riding shotgun with me in the booth as my guest color commentator today. Great to have Zach here, and we'll have some fun conversations throughout the night. Bottom of the first inning, 1-0 Jersey Shore. Here's Tavian Josenberger, who takes a fastball high and away, counts 1-0. Josenberger, then Elio Prado and Mac Horvath against right-hander Gene Cabrera for Jersey Shore. Cabrera, 22-year-old right-hander in his fourth professional season. Josenberger takes a strike on the outer half, counts 1-0. 6 feet flat for Cabrera, standing out on the hill. He's from Maracay in Venezuela, and he was signed as an international free agent back in 2019. He's had a pretty solid run through the Phillies minor league system to this point to get to high A. Now his 1-1 to Josenberger, changeup blown away, it's 2-1. Well, Josenberger's rocking a .411 on-base percentage early on this season, and that's partly because of his 13 walks, which ties him for second in the league. Fly ball to shallow left, sinking quickly, and it's down in front of Schreffler. Josenberger's around first. He's headed for second. A head-first dive in. The tag is late, and it's a leadoff double for Tavian Josenberger. That's a hustle double all the way. Blooped it into left. Schreffler couldn't get there, and Josenberger has a double in back-to-back games.
Don't you just love baseball plays like that where guy clearly doesn't get the best swing on it? He's working the count, pops it up kind of, but it just goes into no man's land. And like you said, for these guys, when it comes to hustling, they're going to go out and try to take that extra base. You love to see that there. Now you get a runner in scoring position already.
It looked like he got jammed there, but Schreffler playing a deep left field, and it allowed that ball to drop. So Josenberger at second. He's got a healthy lead. The second baseman Kemp's keeping him close. First pitch to Elio Prado misses inside. Well, the top of this Ironbirds order did a ton of damage last night. Same top two hitters, Josenberger in the leadoff spot, Prado in the two-hole. Those two combined to reach base safely 8 times in last night's game. So some production at the top, a recipe for success. 1-0 to Prado, takes a strike, it's 1-1. And Elio had a really big night last night. He ripped 2 doubles, including a 3-run double back in the 5th inning of last night's game. And that's what really broke it open for the Birds. They went from leading 1-0 to 4-0 on one swing. Josenberger, an even bigger lead at second, and now Cabrera steps off to look him back. And Prado, with that 3-run double yesterday, doubled his season RBI total and then added another with another double an inning later. 1-1, breaking ball outside. It's 2-1.
Josenberger is just really getting in Cabrera's head out there. You can tell that he's getting this great secondary lead and kind of, even his original lead, they are paying attention to him. He's created a big gap between first and second as well.
2-1, swing and a miss. Prado went up the ladder for that fastball and came up empty. Birds trail 1-0 here in the bottom of the first. No outs and a runner at second. Josenberger blooped a double to left. And now Prado trying to find his way on. Counts 2-2. Big hole on the right side for him. Josenberger takes off for third. Prado swings and misses. Throw to third, not in time and high. It's a stolen base for Tavian Josenberger. Prado down on strikes for the first out, but the Ironbirds have the tying run at third with only one out here in the first.
And that's just something like we talked about with the hustle double. Josenberger just creating plays with his legs there. Ends up on third base, even though you get the strikeout of Prado. You now have a guy at third, and it doesn't even take a hit to get him in, just a productive out as well.
Infield in all the way around. First pitch to Mac Horvath. Misses outside and a little bit low. Count is 1-0. Birds trying to tie this thing at 1. And now Mac Horvath, who reached base safely 11 times in 5 games against Hudson Valley last week, did not play last night. But looking to get it going. He swings and skies one to deep right field. Fergus goes back. He's at the track, makes the catch. And Josenberger can just walk home. We've got a tie game on Mac Horvath's sack fly to deep right. 1-1 our score here in the home first. Get him on, get him over, get him in. Looks like that's what the Ironbirds are doing early on, Zach.
Yeah, and I mean, just exactly what we just talked about. That's why it's so big with these hustle plays. You get to second, you get yourself in scoring position, you steal third, and then a productive out gets you in. So awesome there by Josenberger.
Here's Matthew Etzel, who swings over a changeup. Count is 0-1. One out, no one on, but the Birds just tied the game on Horvath's sack fly. We're tied at 1 here in the home first. Etzel, who has been one of the most productive hitters in the league so far this year, will look to stay hot. Had one hit last night. It was a bunt single in his first plate appearance, and it was an absolute beauty. 1-1 pitch coming from Cabrera. Here it is. Etzel takes high and away. Numbers for Cabrera so far this season, 3 starts. He's allowed just 1 earned run in 16 innings of work. He's got an 0.56 ERA. That's the 3rd best mark in the entire league. Etz pops one up, left side of the diamond, foul ground. We'll see if it stays in play, and it does for the third baseman, Arnold, who makes the grab in front of that Blue Claws dugout. So 2 outs here in the first. Let's set the D, or that's the 3rd out. The sack fly really messed me up.
The productive out gets you every time.
So that's the 3rd out, and that'll end the inning. But the Birds tie it on the Mac Horvath sack fly, and after an inning of play, we are knotted at 1. So we'll head to the top of the 2nd after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the 2nd inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. As we open up play in the 2nd inning, we are tied at 1. A run for the Claws in the top of the 1st on the Pineda RBI single, and then Mac Horvath's sack fly tied it in the home half of the 1st. So Levi Wells back to work. He gets the left fielder Troy Scheffler, and Scheffler takes outside, counts 1-0. It's Scheffler, then Andrick Nava and Zach Arnold, the 5, 6, and 7 hitters for Jersey Shore, as Wells looks to settle in. Now working with the score tied again. 1-0, gets a good fastball up in the zone, and Scheffler swung over it 1-1.
His fastball up in the zone is looking really good today. When he's trying to go down in the zone, he's been struggling, maybe throwing a couple too many balls, but up in the zone, he's winning right now.
1-1, check swing, but he went around, and it's 1-2. Didn't even need an appeal there. And Wells in line for another punch out. He got 2 in the 1st inning. The 2nd out of that 1st inning was recorded on a caught stealing. Creed Willems threw an absolute seed down to 2nd to cut down Leandro Pineda. And then on the next pitch, Wells picked up a strikeout to end the frame. So here's Wells readying the 1-2. Here it is, swing and a miss. Nasty pitch, inner half, tied him up. And that's Wells' 3rd punch out.
Naturally, as soon as I talk about how much he's dominating with the high fastball, he throws 2 beautiful off speeds at the lower part of the zone to get the strikeout. That's what they want to see from him. You know, they know he's got the electric stuff. He can push the fastball, but getting those secondary pitches going is really going to take him to another level.
And that's what the separator is. So 1-0, no one on for Andrick Nava, the switch hitting catcher, flips one foul out of play to the left side, batting left-handed against the right-hander Wells. Birds and Claws tied at 1. We're in the top of the 2nd inning, and I think it's becoming more and more apparent now, you know, that jump from any minor league level up to the next level, and then even from AAA to the big leagues, as Wells gets a swing and a miss on a changeup, is how good is your secondary stuff? Everybody's got the fastball. Everybody's throwing 95-plus. But how many off-speed pitches do you throw, and how good are those pitches?
Yeah, I mean, the fastball is what gets a lot of these guys drafted. It's what they're known for. But it's to go up and move up these levels, it takes the off-speed stuff taking the next step.
0-2 pitch, missed a little bit low. So 1-2 on Nava as Wells looks for another strikeout victim. He's set, out of the windup. 1-2, chop foul down the first baseline. We'll do it again. Birds rocking their home alternate light blue tops with Iron Birds written across the chest in cursive lettering. White letters outlined in orange, numbers on the back in white as well. alternate crab with the baseball bats, hat, light blue hats, white pants. On the flip side, Jersey Shore rocking the navy blue road tops with gray bottoms and the light blue hats with the red brim. Well, the batter, Nava, called time. And the count is still 1-2. And Nava's a guy who spent some time with Jersey Shore last year. He's back this year. Waiting for the 1-2 from Levi Wells. Here it is, foul back.
Man, Nava is just not going away. He's had some really good swings on these past two balls, and you're just, if you're Wells, you're looking for that one pitch to get him out of here.
See if he can find that put-away pitch here. 1-2, flip foul off the end of the bat behind home. We both just stuck our hand up in the air, just the natural reaction with the ball coming our direction. That's why I got the glove here. Should have been on my hand.
I know. It was one of those things. Did it have any chance of making it here? Probably not, but we still, just in case.
Instincts. 1-2 again. Swing and a miss. A nasty breaking ball down in the zone for Levi Wells. It's 2-up, 2-down here in the second, and he has 4 strikeouts early.
Man, that, I got to say, that was nasty. Just a, looked like he threw the off-speed right at the bottom of the zone after the past two pitches. He was looking fastball, trying to get away with that fastball. Nava fouling him off, goes back to the well to the off speed, and then gets him.
Curveball looking great so far. 2-up, 2-down. First pitch fastball to Zach Arnold, the right-handed hitting third baseman, misses outside, and the count is 1-0. Well, Levi Wells had an impressive junior season at Texas State. That's what got him drafted in the fourth round. Now the 1-0 pitch outside. He was a second-team All-Sun Belt selection. And he was also a one-time college baseball National Player of the Week last year, in a week that he threw a complete game shutout and racked up double-digit strikeouts. 2-0 foul back. But, I mean, you talk about all of Division I baseball, how many conferences there are, how many teams there are. And he was the college baseball National Player of the Week. That's impressive.
Yeah, and like you said, it shows what the Orioles saw in him when they drafted him in the fourth round. We get another foul ball there. He's got the stuff, and we've talked about it. He's got that high velocity, and when his breaking balls are on and he can control them where he wants to, this guy is uber talented and can really rise in the ranks.
2-2 pitch, a little bit outside, count goes full. Two outs, no one on here in the top of the second. Birds and Claws tied at one.
He is just picking on that outside corner, hoping to get a swing and miss in the dirt.
Chance to strike out the side in order. 3-2 pitch, outside, ball four. So he walks the 7-hole hitter, Arnold, and that brings up the shortstop, Eric Brito. Wells looks good early, 4 strikeouts. He's got all 4 of his pitches working. He's mixed those pitches well. And like Zach, you were just saying, talk about the stuff that he has. You know, he features in that arsenal. I mean, there's reasons that these guys not only get drafted, but you're flying up a draft board. Those liked him enough to grab him in the fourth round. I mean, that says a lot, especially with as much talent that was in last year's draft. I mean, last year's draft has a chance to be one of the best ever in terms of talent top to bottom.
Yeah, and we just talking about it more and more, when you see these guys, the Orioles rave about the guys they got, they think, you know, they had enough position player talent. They wanted to really hound on getting some good quality pitchers, and I think Wells is one of those guys that they're expecting in a year or two to possibly come up and help the big league club.
2 balls and no strikes on Brito. Next pitch, fastball over the heart of the plate. It's 2-1.
Brito's going to want that one back right over the heart of the plate. That's a ball you can drive. Definitely looked like he was taken until he got a strike, but he's gonna look back and wish he had the go on that.
Decent lead at first for Arnold, 2-1, swing and a miss. Good one on the outer half, and you know, you mentioned it a few pitches ago. Looks like he's really trying to pepper that outside corner to righties.
Yeah, he's trying to get in. When he's throwing the fastball up there, he seems to be getting a lot of swings and misses. He's trying to go off speed a little bit to try to get them to swing outside of the zone. A few guys have done it, but also it's caused him to get 2 walks so far today. But he is definitely living on the edges right now, which you like to say.
2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Runner takes off for second, and the pitch is grounded foul over towards the Birds' dugout. So Brito will see at least one more 2-2 pitch.
And right back to the well. Tries to go off speed, down and away from the batter, but just give him credit. Brito can just barely tap it foul and live to see another day. Maybe a little hit and run the action there, trying to get base runners moving and fielders in different positions.
2-2 again, and another foul ball. So Brito doing a good job of hanging tough and making Wells throw pitches.
Yeah, right there you see the fastball up and inside. He definitely thought he was going to get Brito there after going off speed out and away a few times. Give Brito credit, incredible job adjusting there and just fouling it off.
Move over to first, and the runner Arnold is back. So Schreffler and Nava went down on strikes. Arnold walked, and now Brito and Wells locked in a battle here with two down in a tie game. Wells has his sign, comes set the pitch, and another one fouled back. That's three in a row sent into the seats. And Brito is... he's been pesky here in this AB as Wells looks for out number three.
Yeah, Brito is just refusing to go down striking out. He wants to put this ball in play, and he has just done an incredible job getting bat to ball, even when I think he's not expecting the pitch.
Runner goes again, 2-2, another foul ball, because why not?
Yeah, and right there, actually, that one hung a little bit. I don't think that's where Wells wanted that pitch. Another one of those that Brito's going to look back when he's watching film and go, man, got to make him pay for something like that. But now after Wells got away with one, I think he's probably going to go potentially down and away again to try to get the K.
2-2, one more time, grounded to third. Horvath stays down, and it goes the short way to second. And a 5-4 fielder's choice ends the top of the second. No runs, no hits, no errors. One man left in the top of the second inning for the Blue Claws. We are still tied at one going to the bottom of the second after these messages on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the second inning here in Aberdeen. Creed Willems, Carter Young, Jalen Vasquez, the 5-6 and 7 hitters for the Birds, due up in a tie game. Score tied 1-1, bottom two, as right-hander Gene Cabrera goes back to work. Cabrera, a 22-year-old right-hander from Venezuela, looked good in that first inning, gave up the leadoff double to Josenberger, but it was a blooper. And now the first pitch to Willems. He taps one out to second. Kemp comes up on it. And a soft throw over to first. One pitch, one out here in the top of the second. And that brings up Carter Young. Well, Gene Cabrera has turned some heads in the Phillies organization over the last few years. He won the 2021 Paul Owens Award, which is given every year to the pitcher in the Phillies minor league system who has the best year. So Cabrera won it in 2021 and has steadily moved up the system ever since. He pitched in the Dominican Summer League in 2021 and, you know, to turn heads before you get stateside, that's impressive. First pitch that Young saw, he fouled back, so he's got the count 0-1 on him. Cabrera rocks and fires. Next pitch misses low, and the count is 1-1 on Carter.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about a way to follow up winning, you know, pitcher of the organization. Then you're coming out, and in the early go, you have a 1.04 ERA so far. And, I mean, that is just a nasty pitch right there.
Yeah, changeup down in the zone. Young swung over it. It's 1-2. Tied at one, bottom of the second. As Cabrera looks to work through this second. 1-2, way outside, which was never close. It's 2-2. A little bit of a shift on for Young here. There's still two infielders on each side of the diamond because that's where they have to be. But the third baseman, Arnold, is way off that third base line, shading towards short. See what Young can do with two strikes on him. Here's the 2-2. That's outside. Tried a backdoor breaking ball, and the count runs full.
Yeah, he went right back to the same pitch there, hoping for a different result, but didn't seem to have the right grip on either of those, and they just kind of flail into the other batter's box.
Payoff pitch upstairs, ball four, and Young works his way back. Had the count in his favor there, 3-2, and worked the walk. So first free pass issued by Gene Cabrera, and that brings up Jalen Vasquez. Vasquez had a big night at the dish. He reached safely three times. He scored three of the Ironbirds' 9 runs. And not only that, he hit his first career home run, a 2-run shot over the right field wall in the bottom of the 7th. He's driven in 2 in each of his last 2 games. First pitch he sees is outside for a ball, 1-0. We're tied at 1, bottom 2, as Vasquez looks to stay hot. I mean, you should have seen it last night, Zach. Admired the homer, bat flip, elite bat flip, and then had a nice trot around the bases.
Well, I mean, and if you're the Ironbirds, that's exactly the production you want to see. Obviously, batting a little bit lower in the lineup at 7, but got 933 OPS right now, 7 stolen bases. So if he starts getting that power stroke a little bit more, talk about a player that could do some damage for this team.
2-0 popped up over our heads on the press level. It's 2-1. I mean, yeah, I really like what I'm seeing from Jalen Vasquez early on. He's got that just blazing speed that, you know, he can go get the extra base on a hit to the outfield. He can swipe bags, but he can swing it a little bit. 2-1 off the end of the bat to shallow left. Long run for Schreffler, but it's the third baseman Zach Arnold who makes the grab and foul ground. Throw goes back into second.
That
nice grab over the shoulder.
I was just about to say that was not as easy of a grab as Arnold made that look. Tracked it down with his back completely to the play. Looks up and is able to grab it, still looking towards the outfield in foul territory. It's not as easy as he made that look, that's for sure.
Two down and Young at first, and now Ryan Higgins will bat for the first time. Did not play last night, but went 4-for-11 and drove in 3 runs in the Hudson Valley Series last week. Tied at 1, bottom 2. Pitch from Cabrera, breaking ball outside. Let's set the defense quickly for the Blue Claws. Andrick Navas behind home plate. Zach Arnold playing third with Eric Brito at short. Otto Kemp's over at second. Leandro Pineda is the first baseman. In the outfield, it's Troy Schreffler in left, Justin Crawford in center, and Cade Ferguson right. Counts 1-0 on Higgy. Big hole on the right side for him. He swings and grounds one through the hole on the left side into the outfield. So a 2-out knock for Ryan Higgins. He stays hot. He's now 5 for his last 12.
That's just beautiful base, or beautiful at bat there. Just goes exactly where the pitch is going. Inside pitch, turns on it, ground ball right through the hole. That's exactly what you're hoping for there from Higgins.
So here's the 9-hole hitter, Reed Trimble, switch hitter, batting from the left side, one of 3 switch hitters on this Ironbirds team. And hell of a shot to play to run with 2 down. And he came up in a similar situation last night. Bottom of the 2nd, 2 outs, scoreless game. And Trimble brought home the game's first run. Well, this time he chops one off of his foot foul. And he's hobbling over towards that first base dugout. Didn't realize that it hit him in the foot until I saw him kind of hobbling up that first baseline. But as the ball trickled over towards first base, you could see that that was not the type of spin you would see from a ground ball.
Yeah, that was, honestly, it just shows how hard he hit that ball and how that cannot feel good. If it's coming off your foot and still making it all the way to the first baseman out there, that cannot feel great right now. So let's see how he does battling that and the pitcher.
So he opened the scoring for the Birds with a 2-out RBI double to right last night. As a shot to break a tie for the 2nd straight night. 0-1, just missed inside, looked good, but no call there from the home plate umpire, John Forster. So now Trimble has the count at 1-1, has to regroup after ripping that one off his front foot. Waves the bat a couple times in front of the zone. He's ready to hit. Cabrera looks at second. Next pitch, changeup low. It's Young at second and Higgins at first. The Birds will look to gain their first lead of the night.
And, I mean, if Reed Trimble wants to hit it down to the left center field gap, they are giving it to him. You could drive about 15 semi-trucks into the gap they have out there.
2-1, that's high. I mean, that's a great point. Right now, the left fielder Schreffler is playing in straight away in left. The center fielder Crawford is shaded towards right center. and there is just that massive gap between them. And then the right fielder, Fergus, is playing straight away. But left center, I mean, Tribble has shown that he can go there. 3-1. Chopper to the right side. Going to be a tough play. Tribble can fly. Flip to first. Not in time. And here, Young is in to score from second as the pitcher Cabrera fell down covering first. And then Reed Tribble is down in shallow right. Well, everybody's going to go check on him. Now Cabrera, the pitcher, is going to tag Tribble just to make sure he touched first. The base umpire, Travis Brewer, you know, signaled safe right away. So it's an infield RBI single for Reed Tribble, but he looks like he's in some pain. He was able to get up on his own. Ironbird's assistant athletic trainer, Riley Sanders, is out to check on him, but he is limping, and we'll see if he has to come out of the game. But it didn't look good. He went down after getting past first base. Now, I was looking at the runner Young coming home, Zach, so I don't know if Reed kind of stumbled going past first, stumbling from hitting the bag with his foot, or if he tripped over Cabrera.
Yeah, I think him and Cabrera got there exact same time, and I think they kind of bumped into each other, and not a situation that you want to see, especially two guys just going for the out there. But what situational awareness by Young, knowing that's going to be a tough play, never stopped hustling, sees the ball, you know, pitcher falls down when he tries to catch the ball, grabs it. Young recognizes it immediately and goes and kind of steals a run there for the Ironbirds.
Tough sequence. The Ironbirds take the lead. Like you said, Zach, they steal a run on an infield ground ball. It's an infield RBI single for Reed Tribble, but he is out of the game. Isaac De Leon on at first base to pinch run. Isaac will probably stay in the game, and I think that he would play one of the corner infield positions, and they would move either Matt Horvath or Ryan Higgins to the outfield to play left, but we'll see. I mean, that's a story for the top of the third. But for right now, it's Higgins at third. He went first to third on the infield chopper. Young went second to home. He scored the go-ahead run, so 2-1 Birds. And it's De Leon pinch running for Tribble at first. So first and third for Tavian Josenberger, the leadoff man. He's the sixth man to bat in the inning. He takes a changeup low and away. A lot going on right there, Zach.
A lot going on, and it is once again another run by the Ironbirds that kind of was manufactured off of hustle. You get a guy, another infield single, but guy at second makes it all the way home because of the awareness and just understanding the situation.
1-0 pitch. Josenberger chops one to first, backhanded by Pineda on one hop, picks it, steps on first, and the inning is over on the 3 unassisted putout. But the Birds with a little picket fence offense so far, run in the first, a run in the second. They lead it 2-1 after two, and we are headed to the top of the third after this quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the third inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Ironbirds 2, Blue Claws 1. Ironbirds with a run in each of the first two innings. Reed Tribble, an infield RBI single to give the Birds the lead in the bottom of the second, but he exited the game with an apparent injury. Isaac De Leon pinch ran for him. De Leon stayed in the game. He is at first base, and Ryan Higgins moves from first to left. So those are the changes for the Ironbirds. Levi Wells, the right-hander for the Birds, back out there. And the first pitch of the inning that he threw was fouled back by the right fielder, Cade Fergus. So Fergus then back to the top for Crawford and Kemp. Birds lead it 2-1. That pitch was downstairs. Count is 1-1. Well, a tough sequence there for the Ironbirds, Zach. Reed Trimble legs out an infield single, a hustle play by Carter Young to score from second on it with two outs, but Birds lose Trimble. He is now out of the game.
Yeah, that's one of those situations where you absolutely love the hustle that Trimble's go exhibits there. He goes down, actually helps produce a run with that, but at the same time does get hurt, and you just hope. You know, we talked about it off air. Had troubled with injuries last year, and you just hope for the guy that he can get it together and isn't too badly banged up.
Count is 2-2 on the nine-hole hitter Fergus as Wells looks to retire the leadoff man. Four strikeouts for Wells through two innings of one-run ball. He's looked really good. A chance to put away Fergus right here. Willems wants it high. Here's the 2-2. He gets it high, but a little bit too high. The count runs full. Well, Wells made his professional debut against these Blue Claws back on April 6th. Gave up four runs, three earned, and three and a third at Jersey Shore in the Ironbirds opening series. 3-2, got him. Nasty breaking ball in the outer half. Went with the slider there, and that's strikeout number five for Levi.
Absolutely love that pitch sequence right there by Levi. He gets him with the high fastball a few times in the count. He's really sitting there thinking, okay, he's probably going back to his heat. That's what he's got best control of tonight. And then he just drops it off the table there, gets the strikeout.
Swing and a miss. Justin Crawford gassed up right there. Good fastball up in the zone. And, Zach, you know, you talked about it in the last inning, how he's living with that fastball up in the zone, and he's gotten some swings and misses. He's gotten some weak contact. And we'll see if he goes back here 0-1. He does with the fastball, and Crawford fights it off. But you can see, Zach, I mean, that was a protection hack right there and just got a piece.
Yeah, Wells' fastball is working right now, and the hitters are just trying to get past it at this point. You got to just pray that you get some sort of off-speed that's hung up there, because right now, with the way his fastball is going, he's going to dominate with it.
0-2, flicked in the air left center. That's down. Crawford runs well, could be extra bases. He's around first, heading for second. It got by Josenberger in center. And now Higgins picks it up and left. Crawford all the way into third with a belly flop into the bag. See if that's a double and an error or just a straight-up triple. But either way, the tying run is 90 feet away for Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and actually very similar situation to what we had in the first inning where they get the single from Pineda to where we talked about Josenberger. Plays the hop extremely well to keep the runner at first base there. Very difficult hop, eats him up a little bit, gets over the glove. Tough thing to play right there, but as we can see, the Blue Claws take advantage, and now the runner tying run 90 feet from home.
No error on the board. Looks like it's just a straight-up triple. And now with a runner at third and one out, the Birds bring the infield in about halfway. First pitch outside to Otto Kemp, and the count is 1-0. The third baseman, Horvath, is maybe a half step behind that third base bag depth-wise. The other three infielders are either in or halfway. 1-0, half-hearted check swing. He went around. It is 1-1. That fastball up in the zone again.
Yeah, and we saw Crawford. What was he hunting? He gets the off-speed low and away, and he's able to just kind of flick it out into the left center field gap, and that's what I think these guys are going to have to really focus on.
1-1, lace to center. Here comes Josenberger, makes the catch on the run. Crawford tags. He's headed home. The throw bounces off the top of the mound and skips to the catcher Willems, but it's a little late, and it's a sacrifice fly for Otto Kemp.
You know, that just shows how important speed is. Crawford, man, he is flying from the second he reaches base, and he's already made a bunch of plays with his speed out there after he walked, obviously stole second base, got himself into scoring position to score on a single later in the first, then there, gets himself in scoring position immediately with a triple, and then you're able to, on a pretty great throw by Josenberger, still get in.
Tied at two here in the top of the third. Here's Leandro Pineda swings at the first pitch and fouls it away. Count is 0-1. Well, Zach, I know that we told the people listening at home early in the broadcast that you are the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show. You've done a ton of work with Ryan Ripken over the last 7 months or so. 0-1 is outside. It's 1-1. You guys have interviewed some big-time guests over the last few weeks. I mean, you had Mike Elias on recently. You had the new owner of the Orioles, David Rubenstein, and Ryan's dad, of course, the Iron Man, Cal Ripken Jr., came on. Those are a few big names. You've had other guests. Do you have a favorite so far of guests that you've interviewed?
So it is such recency bias, and I understand that. But our most recent one, I guess second most recent one, is this past Monday. We got Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg on together. And those two are just hilarious at all times.
1-2, swing and a miss. Another punch out for Levi Wells. How about a six-pack of K's through three innings tonight? Well, Zach, we'll pick up that conversation when we come back in the home third. But we are knotted at two after 2.5 here in the D. Michael and Zach coming back after a quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the broadcast. Zach, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, joining me as my guest color commentator for tonight's game. We're tied at two in the home half of the third. Elio Prado, Mac Horvath, and Matthew Etzel, the 2, 3, and 4 hitters for the Birds. Against right-hander Gene Cabrera, Prado steps in, struck out swinging in the first, but had a really nice night last night. 2 doubles and 4 RBIs. He takes upstairs for a ball. Count is 1-0. A sack fly from Otto Kemp tied the game in the top of the third. Prado swings and misses over that one. But Levi Wells, how about it, Zach? 6 strikeouts through 3 looked really good.
Yeah, and we talked about it early in the broadcast. You wanted to see those strikeout-to-walk ratio numbers find their way into more of the 2 to 3 strikeouts per walk instead of the 1-to-1 that it was sitting at before this, and he's done a great job of it so far.
1-2 to Prado, takes inside, almost clipped him, but the count goes to 2-2.
Yeah, that's one of those pitches you don't like as a hitter or a manager, seeing it come in right by the hand. A lot of bones that could happen.
Well, cue shot out to second. This has got some really weird spin on it, and it eats up Kemp, the second baseman.
That
was just some of the weirdest spin I've ever seen. I mean, straight up a cue shot. I mean, that's really the best way you can describe it, off the end of the bat. And, you know, Kemp, who had to charge that, just kind of just rolled up his arm.
Yeah, I could tell from the second that left the bat that Kemp wanted nothing to do with it. That ball, every single time it hit the grass, was bouncing a different direction. Like you said, he gets in front of it, and then it bounces up his arm. Tough play there.
So an E4, Prado takes off for second as Horvath rips one just foul down the first base or the third baseline. That was close, but a lot of action right now. Prado gets to first, reaching on the error, and then immediately takes off for second. Horvath swinging at the first pitch. And that was inches from being an extra base hit and maybe an RBI.
Yeah, if he gets that, especially with Prado on the run, it looks like Prado is probably scoring unless it hits off the wall down there. But we'll see if Prado's on the run here again.
Cabrera looks over at first. Long pause to the plate. Horvath swings and fouls one back. It's 0-2. So an aggressive approach from Mac Horvath, who ripped 2 doubles and hit a home run, his first of the season on the road at Hudson Valley last week. Oh, he is coming around with the bat, hitting the ball with authority. And now we'll hit with no balls and 2 strikes on him. Bullpen action for the Birds right now. Preston Johnson is loosening up. Now Cabrera's 0-2, and another one fouled back. So Horvath is on it. He ripped a sack fly to deep right in the first. That tied the game at that time. Birds held a 2-1 lead after two, and then the Blue Claws tied it in the top of the third with a sack fly.
That's one that Mac wants back. His eyes got real wide on that one, and he wanted to put that baby over the fence just a little bit under it. Goes right back.
Prado a dive back in first. I mean, Mac Horvath has just some insane raw power. He's not a huge guy. I mean, you know, he's over 6 feet tall. He's a big, stocky guy when you're up close to him. But, you know, he's got some serious raw power, and he's growing into that power. 0-2, drives one to deep left field. Sounded good off the bat. Crawford on his horse, so is Schreffler. Neither will get it. And two hops into the wall. Coming around to score from first is Prado, and Horvath is in with a triple.
Well, let's talk about the power, baby.
An RBI triple for Mac Horvath. And once again, the Birds take the lead. It's now 3-2 here in the third.
Talked about Mac wanting that one pitch back over the middle. Gets one pretty much same spot up in the zone, and he did not miss that one. Puts it right into the left center field gap and just into the Aberdeen sky.
That left center gap getting a lot of action tonight, and now with Horvath at third and no outs, Matthew Etzel gets to hit with the infield in all the way around. Birds lead at 3-2. Here in the home third, Etzel swings at the first pitch, and he's on it, fouls it back to the netting. It's 0-1. Well, Prado reached on an error, scored all the way from first on the gapper from Horvath, and Horvath with a slide into third base for his first triple of the season. 0-1, make it 0-2 as Etz fouls one back. So Horvath continues to hit the baseball with authority. He's swinging it well.
And this is another situation where because Horvath hustles in, makes from second to third, now you have another opportunity. A productive out can get him in and extend this lead.
Another foul ball of Etzel's bat, so it stays at 0-2. Etzel's the kind of guy who just does a little bit of everything. He's such a well-rounded ball player. Just trying to get his bat on the ball here and drive that run home. He fouls another one down the left field line out of play. Count stays at 0-2, and for Mac Horvath, picks up his 10th RBI of the season, now up to 5 extra base hits on the year. So he's putting together a really nice stretch as Etzel swings over a changeup on the 0-2 offering, and that is a big out number one for the Blue Claws.
And there's an example of why the Phillies are so high on a guy like Cabrera, because needs a strikeout there. You obviously, if the ball gets put in play, you're chancing even with an out, an RBI gets in. So what does he do? Drop a nasty changeup for the strikeout.
Here's Creed Willems. He swings over a changeup, and it's 0-1. Infield remains in for Jersey Shore. The Birds lead to 3-2 on the RBI triple to the left center gap off the bat of Mac Horvath. He's at third. 0-1. Willems fouls another one back, and that one was about maybe a window or two over from us up here in the booth, so naturally I had to put the glove back on.
Each inning we get closer and closer to coming over here.
It's like that sometimes. 0-2, Willems rips one up the middle, a base hit. Horvath in to score, and it's 4-2 Ironbirds. Well, the line keeps moving, and the Birds manufacture another run.
Absolutely beautiful at bat there by Willems. He understands the situation. Runners or fielders or infields in, so literally just getting anything up the middle is going to work. If infield's not in there, I'm not sure if he gets a single out of that. Would have been a tough play, but with the infield in, soon as off contact, he knew he was sitting in with an RBI single.
So 4-2 Birds, a lot of offense early in this one. And here's Carter Young. He swings and rips one foul off to the third base side. Well, these Ironbirds hitters are getting a lot of good swings off of Gene Cabrera so far tonight, a guy who came in with an 0.56 ERA, and that has climbed quite a bit so far through these first two-plus innings. 0-1 pitch coming up off the plate. And, well, Zach, before the last half inning ended, I was asking you about your favorite interview so far as part of the Ryan Rittman Show. And, of course, with the recency bias, you picked a recent one, your most recent interview, where you guys had both Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser on. Runner takes off. Young fouls one back. And the count is 1-2. So, I mean, how cool was it to have those guys? I mean, two of not only the best young players in the game right now, but two of the hottest players overall in Major League Baseball. How cool is it to have those guys on?
I mean, it was incredible. Colton Cowser wins MLB AL Player of the week before, actually just as they got off our interview on Monday. It was announced Westberg was named Player of the Week for that week. So, soft line, ground out there. ate up the first baseman at first. Thought maybe there was going to be a chance, but Pineda able to grab it pretty quickly and just kind of continue get the out. But, man, Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser, it's just an incredible duo that they've built together, just two best friends hanging out. Actually, to start off the interview, they joined separately, and then they each took their phones and computers outside to show that they were in rooms next to each other. So they put the other on the screen, which was pretty cool.
That's so cool. Two outs and a runner at second, and the pitch to Vasquez misses high, 1-0. Birds lead it 4-2 here in the third. How cool is that? I mean, you just don't see that regularly in professional sports where the guys on this Orioles roster, I mean, they legitimately hang out with each other. Mm-hmm. They're legitimately friends, and I think that's why you're seeing so much success over the last couple years. Pitch to Vasquez missed just off the plate.
Yeah, and team chemistry is such a massive bonus for the Baltimore Orioles right now, and you see it, honestly, it begins, as they said, it begins in these minor league levels of, you know, doing the long road trips, going out on the road, stuff like that, in places where you don't necessarily, you don't know anyone, you're not sure what's around, so a lot of time spent together, and it's really built a chemistry and bond between all of them that's so special, and I think it's what helps the Baltimore Orioles really stay consistent, because they don't get too down, they don't get too high on each other.
Next pitch to Vasquez catches the outer part of the plate. It's 2-1 with two down, and Willems at second here in the bottom of the third. I mean, it has just been so fun watching these baby birds not only get to the big leagues, but shine in the big leagues. And, I mean, they're just getting started. Broken bat, flare to left center. It's down. Willems gets the wave around third. He's headed home. Throw to the plate is high and offline, and it's an RBI knock for Jalen Vasquez. And now he's headed for third. Throw. He got under the tag, it looked like, but he's called out, and he is not happy. Well, it's an RBI base hit for Vasquez as he drives in his fifth run over the last three games. Willems scored from second with two down, but the inning is over as Vasquez is cut down trying to get to third. So a 5-2 Ironbirds lead after three. They pick up three more runs and do it on three hits and an error here in the bottom of the third. But that is it for the inning. We'll try to give a quick recap of that when we come back. A lot of action so far tonight, but it's 5-2 Birds as we head to the top of the fourth on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. New arm for the Ironbirds, top of the fourth inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. It's the Ironbirds 5 and the Blue Claws 2. The Birds broke a 2-2 tie with three runs in the home third. They've scored in each of the first three innings. And now right-hander Preston Johnson is on in relief of righty Levi Wells. First pitch of the night from Johnson misses high to the four-hole hitter Felix Reyes. Count is 1-1. So Johnson in for Wells. Wells looked really good over three innings of two-run ball. Next pitch from Johnson in for a strike. We'll get you the final line on Levi Wells. Gave up two runs, both earned on two hits in three innings of work. Struck out six and walked just two, so a really nice ratio there. Pop up to the right side. Young, the second baseman, is out, but it's Etzel, the right fielder, who makes the grab. And on three pitches, Preston Johnson has the first out of the fourth.
Yeah, and you talked about right there for a second. The most impressive thing I saw from Wells today was his ability not to walk guys. He went out there, was efficient, and really knew what pitches were working, able to get six strikeouts to only two walks, sitting right at that 3-to-1 ratio where you really want to see someone like that.
A career-high six punch-outs for Levi Wells in his fourth career outing. He had 8 in 3 outings coming in. Now a bunt popped up behind home plate, and that is a very long foul ball for a pitch that was bunted at.
Yeah, I was going to say, that almost made it back here. That was probably the closest one we've gotten so far, and did not expect that to happen on a bunt.
There was a lot of spin on that baseball coming off the top of his bat right there. Now the count 0-1 on Troy Schreffler, and the pitch misses low and inside. It is 1-1. Schreffler was a strikeout victim back in the second inning. A six-pack of punch-outs for Levi Wells looked really good. Walked just 2. Pitch count was a little high. Threw 60 pitches, but 38 strikes. 1-1, swing and a miss. And Preston Johnson is ramping up on the cheese there.
That's a pitch exactly where he wanted, and I would not be surprised if he comes to the off-speed right here. He can tell batter was not handling the fastball right there. Maybe this is when you try either a fastball up and in, or you try to get him fishing out and away with an off-speed.
Here's Johnson's 1-2. Got him. Breaking ball outside, nowhere close to the zone, but my guest color commentator Zach all over that one. It's strikeout number 1 for Preston Johnson, 2 up, 2 down.
Yeah, that's a situation where you see he cannot handle the inside fastball, so in the back of his head he wants to make sure that he's out in front of everything, have a ball, maybe looks like it's going over the corner, drops off at the last second, and he had absolutely no chance at that one.
Here's the switch hitter Nava batting from the left side. Swings the first pitch and fouls it back. Well, Zach, we were talking about the interview with Jordan Westbrook and Colton Cowser. And if anyone out there listening to this broadcast watched the live stream of that interview, they saw you change into a cow suit. You did that off screen, then you came back wearing a cow suit for Colton Cowser. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was actually super funny. That is not even the first Oriole player I had interviewed in that cow suit. I interviewed Kyle Bradish on it while wearing the cow suit right around Halloween, and did not think it would get any more use on the show.
Fly ball to left, and it gets past Higgins. Josenberger, the center fielder, over to cut it off before it gets to the warning track. And it's a stand-up double for Andrick Nava. Well, that gives us a little more time to dive into the cow suit story, Zach. Continue.
Yeah, so then obviously Colton Cowser makes the team, and the cow suit craze begins all throughout Baltimore. Everyone's wearing them to the games. You got the Moon Man just taking over. So obviously he gets to come on, and immediately I was like, I have to wear the cow suit. But I wasn't sure how we wanted to do it. We thought it would be funny. I asked my first question to him, just regular in a sweatshirt and everything, and then had it leave the screen. I changed quickly into the cow suit, and then it came back on. And I will say, I was hoping it would get a chuckle from Cowser and them. It getting Westbrook to laugh was a big thing for me, because you don't see the man smile a lot. So getting a chuckle from Westbrook was definitely one of those things where, like, okay, that was a good joke.
Yeah,
that was a good joke.
That's awesome stuff. So here's Zach Arnold, the third baseman, with a runner at second and 2 down. Birds lead at 5-2. A 1 pitch sent to straightaway center. Josenberger drifts, and he makes the catch for out number 3. A nice fourth inning for Preston Johnson. No runs on 1 hit with 2 outs, no errors, and a man left in scoring position. Looking good out of the bullpen, and he'll look to give the Birds some more innings out of the pen as we go forward. 3.5 in the books here in the Dean. We'll head back after a quick break for the bottom of the fourth on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Ironbirds 5, Blue Claws 2, bottom of inning number 4 here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds looking for some more runs, looking to score for the fourth straight inning here tonight. And Ryan Higgins, Isaac DeLeon, and Tavian Josenberger, the 8-9-1 hitters, will look to get it going against right-hander Gene Cabrera, who is back to work here in the fourth. He's given up 5 runs on 6 hits. And the Birds have really taken it to a guy who came in with an 0.56 ERA, third best in the Sally League. And he also had an 11-inning scoreless streak going, but the Birds erased that pretty quickly. A run in the first, a run in the second, 3 in the third. So here's Higgins, takes a first-pitch strike. It's 0-1. Well, Zach, to wrap up the point that we were talking about, the you wearing the cow suit for the interview with Westberg and the milkman, Colton Cowser. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Higgins takes a strike. Got to give a shout-out to our guy Jason Benowitz, who might be listening right now. He's the big Colton Cowser fan out there. He is really gotten Birdland in on Colton, and I gotta believe that has contributed to his hot start.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely all Jason. Talk about obviously Jason, great guy, but it really is awesome to see. And Cowser talked about it, just to see the support he's getting, especially as a guy who coming into this year wasn't sure if he'd make the team. Out of spring training, he really had to fight for that position. Struggled a little bit at the major league level last year. For him to not only succeed like this, but everyone support him so much is massive for his confidence.
1-2, Higgins takes outside a peel, no swing. It's just really cool to see the love that Birdland is showing for the guys who came up last year, coming up this year, who maybe had a shot last year but didn't establish themselves yet. Cowser and Westberg, of course, fit into that category. I mean, those guys doing it all. I mean, Cowser hitting a home run, seems like every other at bat as Higgins chases. Yeah. And foul, he got a piece of it, so the count stays at 2-2. And Westberg, a walk-off homer earlier this year. I mean, winning AL Player of the Week right after Cowser did the same thing. So it's just really cool to see. But I love the love for Colton Cowser with the whole with the milk theme.
Oh,
jam shot out
play.
To short. Tough play for the shortstop, Brito. Long throw to first, not in time. Well, had to throw across his body, and Higgins beat it. So he is now 2-for-2, and he has 6 hits in his last 13 ABs.
That's exactly what you want. Another play there where the Ironbirds are getting these infield hits. They're getting these hustle plays. And at the end of the day, you look up at the scoreboard, and that can be the difference. And especially in a tighter game like this, you had the one unearned run, obviously. But three-run game, and you could really argue two or three of those have come off hustle plays.
Here's Isaac DeLeon, takes a pitch in the dirt. Higgins read it well, and he takes off for second and gets there without a throw. Ryan Higgins, a heads-up play as he saw that one spiked into the turf. Read it really well, and once again, an Ironbird picking up an extra base to go off of the theme of these hustle plays. You know, not only scoring runs because of the hustle, but getting into scoring position because of it.
Yeah, that's not going to pop up on the box score, the infield single, and then advancing beautifully on a ball that didn't get away from the catcher too much, but he notices that Nava struggled with it a bit and immediately took off. Great read by him, and once again, you got man in scoring position, no outs because of it.
Big cut for DeLeon there. Count is 1-1. Isaac batting for the first time tonight. He pinch ran for Reed Trimble in the second. Trimble exited with an apparent injury. But not before an infield RBI single gave the Birds the lead. 1-1 tipped into the glove of Nava. It's 1-2. Birds 5, Claws 2. We're in the home half of the fourth. Got Zach Bollinger, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, with me in the booth tonight. Having some fun here in the Dean, and hope everybody tuned into tonight's broadcast is enjoying it. It's always good to have a second voice on air. First time that I've had that this season. And a 1-2 pitch coming up to DeLeon, chased outside. That's strike 3.
Oh, beautiful pitch there by Cabrera. But yeah, I can't. It's one of those things where you're doing it by yourself. It's fun, but then at the same time, you're like, man, wish I could have some conversation with someone. So I'm happy that you allowed me to come barge in here, and it's been fun.
Yeah, so I mean, this will prepare you if you ever have to do the Ryan Ripken Show by yourself. Maybe Ryan will be stuck in traffic one night, and he's like, "Hey, you gotta run the show. It's your show tonight."
Yeah, Ryan in traffic only happens every day, so it's a very big possibility. Yeah,
Josenberger chops one over to first. A nice backhand stab by Pineda, throws to Cabrera covering, and a 3-1 putout is out number 2. That moves Higgins to third, and Elio Prado will get a shot. Is Ryan tuned in tonight? Do you know if he's listening to us on the airwaves?
He better be. That's all I'm going to say. You know, he better be supporting me. So if he's not, I'll text him and tell him to come tune in.
Got to catch the highlights, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, here's Elio Prado, who reached on an error in the third. He led off that inning, and the Birds ended up scoring three times. Prado swings and tips one into Nava's glove. It's 0-1. Well, Zach, you've built a really big following on Twitter/X over the last few years, and I got to know, how did you do it? I mean, what got you this big following? I mean, really, I put in the tweet today to say you were joining me. I said Birdland fan favorite. I mean, that's what you are at this point.
I appreciate that. It really is. It's consistency. It's understanding that, you know, I, every single day, as we'll see what happens here, another hustle play maybe.
Chopper to short and Prado thrown out on the 6-3 put out. Well, as usual, we'll have to pick up the conversation when we come back, but Birds get another man in the scoring position, but they can't get him home. No runs on a hit. No errors, one left. Through four full, it's the Birds 5 and the Claws 2. We'll head to another break and come back for the top of the fifth after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the fifth inning here in the Dean. It's the Iron Birds 5 and the Blue Claws 2. Game 2 of a 6-game series. The Birds took home a wire-to-wire 9-2 win last night. And looking to make it 3 wins in a row. Brito, Fergus, and Crawford do up for the Claws here in the top of the fifth. Right-hander Preston Johnson back to work. First pitch misses high to Brito. It's 1-0. Johnson picked up a strikeout and worked around a 2-out double in a scoreless fourth. He took over for Levi Wells, who gave up 2 runs and picked up 6 strikeouts in 3 innings. 1-0 on the outside corner, it's 1-1. So, Zach, before the break, I asked you about how you've built this following on Twitter/X. And you talked about the consistency. And, you know, I know you've had a lot of tweets. I guess, you know, but you can't call them tweets anymore, but I'm going to. They're tweets. That's what they are. They always will be. You've had a lot of tweets blow up, and, you know, that's obviously helped the cause as well.
Yeah, it is funny, you know, obviously consistency is key. Every day I want to go out there and deliver some sort of value to people, but I have had one or two tweets that kind of blow up as we get another strikeout there. I'm really liking what we're seeing so far.
Preston Johnson picks up out number one quickly.
And, you know, when it comes to tweets blowing up, it has been some of the most random ones. Probably the biggest one was the Johnny Baltimore Ravens Lamar Jackson one. That got picked up by a bunch of the ESPN sports centers. That became a weekly thing that would blow up, get a few million views here and there. But
just a few million.
Yeah, it was. And it's crazy for me to even say that because it got to the point where I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah,
you know,
you got to start turning off notifications.
Oh, yeah. That is the one thing. My friends do make fun of me because I have notifications off, and they're like, wow, you would. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
1-1 pitch, low and away. It's 2-1 now. Birds rocking a 3-run lead here in the fifth. Talking to Ryan Ripken Show co-host Zach Bollinger, who's built a really strong social media following over the last few months and is doing some big things on the show with Ryan and the rest of the Ryan Ripken Show crew. And excited to have him here as Johnson fires a 2-1 outside corner for a strike, 2-2. I saw the tweet that you sent out prior to the 2023 season, you said the Orioles were just going to mess around and win the division. 101 wins later, they win the AL East, and then you quote tweet that tweet and say, you know, Tapp's microphone, is this the one told you so? And that one blew up too.
Yeah, that was one of those where that, if I'm going of tweets that just felt good, man, Johnson with another K, that is, he's impressive this inning. But yeah, that was one of those tweets where I put it out there on March 30th, I believe, of last year. And I just had a weird feeling. I was like, you know what? What if this team just wins it? I was like, what if they go win the division? So I put it out there. I said, we'll quote tweet on September 30th and say, I told you so. And lo and behold, on September 30th, I got to quote tweet it and say, I told you so. And that one felt good. That was one of those where as the division started wrapping up, I was like, oh, gosh, these guys are actually doing it.
One pitch, swing and a miss, good changeup from Johnson. I love stories like that, and it's so cool to see it play out in front of your eyes. You know, with as many games as you watch, and now you know you kind of you're covering the team in a sense with the show, interviewing players and all that. Well, Preston Johnson has a chance to strike out the side in order in the fifth. No balls and two strikes. Birds lead it by three. Johnson ready, and the pitch, fastball a little bit high, and the count goes to 1-2. But between Wells and Johnson, those two have teamed up for 9 punch-outs through 4 2/3. See if they can get to double digits here. No one on, 2 gone. And the count is 1-2. Johnson readies it to Crawford, and the pitch is in the dirt. And we're just building suspense right now.
Yeah.
Doing it on 0-2 count, that's just too easy.
Way too easy. He goes fastball up, and then he goes fastball down in the dirt. I would not be surprised if maybe we see some breaking ball action. Try to get it in on the hitter. Maybe get him to roll over something or swing and miss.
Crawford ready to hit. Johnson ready on the mound. 2-2, a little bit outside, ball three. Well, Johnson does have 5 pitches to work with. He has a 4-seam fastball, a cutter, a changeup, a curveball, and a sweeper. So, I mean, really, if you're Crawford, I mean, you almost got a guess right here. You got a 20% shot.
Yeah, so we'll see what Johnson goes to here, trying to get the side out, strike him out in order.
3-2-2 out pitch, and another one fouled back.
It wouldn't be, you know, baseball if they didn't foul that back. It just keeps on building the suspense. He couldn't go down easy. And this is, you know, Crawford already making some plays with his speed out here. Is a guy that the Ironbirds would not like to see on the bases again, because it seems like if he gets on first, he's going to take second and get himself into scoring position.
3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Birds lead it by 3, top 5. Johnson waiting for the sign from Willems. He's ready. And the payoff pitch, flicked out to short on a couple of hops. Vasquez rounds it, throws to first, and it's just in time to beat Justin Crawford at the bag. A 6-3 put out, Vasquez over to De Leon, and Preston Johnson fires his first 1-2-3 inning of the night. So through 4.5 here in the Dean, the Birds still rocking a 5-2 lead. We'll head to the home fifth after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of inning number 5 here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. Birds lead it 5-2 over the Jersey Shore Blue Claws in game 2 of this 6-game series. Birds looking for their 3rd straight win after a big 9-2 win last night, in which they racked up a season-high tying 11 hits, 5 of them for extra bases. And here is Mac Horvath, who tripled home a run back in the 3rd and then scored later in that 3-run 3rd inning. First pitch from righty Gene Cabrera, who's back out there for the fifth, misses low. That was the 75th pitch of the night for Cabrera. 47 strikes mixed in there. Horvath grounds one to third. It's a fair ball. Arnold rounds it, throws to first, and it's in time to get Horvath. So on two pitches, a 5-3 putout is out number one here in the fifth. And that brings up Matthew Etzel. Well, Zach, you have had a chance to watch a lot of Orioles games throughout your lifetime, especially over the last couple years. As a fan, but now, you know, covering the O's from a media standpoint, you know, let's stick with regular season games. Do any jump out at you as your favorites?
I have to say it's got to be the game they clinched the division last year. So it was one of those situations. I was sitting at home. I was like, I don't think I'm going to go. I'm not going to go. I had tickets the next day. I was like, you know, maybe they lose and don't do it today. If they don't, I'll be there tomorrow if they win it. And all of a sudden, it was the first inning, and Anthony Santander hits a home run to put him up 1-0, and I could just feel the buzz in the crowd. I was like, I got to be there. Hopped in an Uber, bought the cheapest ticket I could, and got there by the third inning, and it was probably the best decision of my life. Immediately, as soon as it, you know, final outs got and the Orioles win the division, I think I even blacked out a little bit. It was one of the coolest moments there is, especially after the long rebuild, kind of sitting through the 100 lost years, then finally to see it all come together in that moment and you get the win and are able to really just celebrate. It was just something unlike I really thought would ever happen. And, of course, finally realizing that I could go back to that tweet and say, I told you so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that put a bow on it. You know, yeah. Not only, putting that tweet out and then going back, but then being able to be there when they clinched that division after the long rebuild. Just really impressive to see. So after a ground out to first by Etzel, here's Willems with two gone and no one on. Birds lead it by three here in the home half of the fifth. But I got to imagine that, you know, we're going to see some more special moments this season and beyond the way that things are going in Birdland. But we'll talk about it next half inning, I guess. So Birds go down 1-2-3. Willems chased after the changeup, and the inning's over. So five innings from Gene Cabrera, but the Birds still lead it 5-2. We'll head to the top of the sixth after this break on the Birds Broadcast Network. To the top of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. It's the Birds 5 and the Blue Claws 2. The Birds got a run in the first, another in the second, and three big ones in the third. The Claws grabbed a run each in the first and third inning. So here we are with the Birds ahead by three, top of the sixth inning. And Preston Johnson goes back to work. He gets Kent Pineda and Reyes. Well, Gene Cabrera, the starter for Jersey Shore, just completed the fifth inning. He's done that now in all four of his starts this season. This start, much different than his previous outing against the Ironbirds, as the Birds got to him for five runs in five innings, and it looks like he is done for the day. And Preston Johnson, not nearly done for the day. He's logged two scoreless in relief of Levi Wells. And here's his 1-0 offering to Kemp. Chop to third. Horvath waits back on it. Long throw across the diamond and ate up De Leon. I don't know if they would have had him anyway, and now Kemp headed for second. He's in standing. And that will probably go down as an E5 on Horvath.
Yeah, that's a tough one for any third baseman. You have to back up on a high hopper. And then we've talked about it a bunch of times already tonight. Both teams are putting their head down and hustling, trying to make stuff happen. And there you put the pressure on the defense, unable to scoop it over there for De Leon. And would have been a bang-bang play. Not sure what the ump would have called it there. But now we have a runner in scoring position with no outs.
So here's Leandro Pineda, who struck out swinging his last time up. Lowell's got him to end that third inning, which was the final pitch he threw. First pitch, strike on the outer half, good fastball there. Well, how about this for an adjustment from one game to another for the Ironbirds facing Gene Cabrera, Zach? So in Cabrera's first outing against Aberdeen, 5-plus innings, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts and a walk, picked up the win. Tonight, 5 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings, big difference.
Big difference, and you saw it was the little things. It was advancing on plays in the dirt. It was hustling out, turning doubles into triples, singles into doubles, and just being right place, right time. Obviously, you had the big, I wouldn't call it, you had the big shot by Horvath to get him another run in there, too. I would say that was probably the biggest hit of the day, but besides that, it was a lot of little dribblers here and there, bloop singles, broken bats, but the Ironbirds just found a way to consistently get to him and get guys across the plate.
Well, this team looks really good right now. Birds going for their third straight win tonight, and the pitching's been excellent as well. 2-1 pitch coming to Leandro Pineda. Here it is. Nasty breaking ball down, and Pineda swung over it. I mean, that's filthy right there.
That was a disgusting pitch, and if I'm Johnson, I'm coming right inside with the heat here, trying to get him off because he was clearly out in front of that. Try to get him to swing through this one.
Time called as Pineda steps out. Preston Johnson looking for his fourth punch-out. He has been on tonight ever since coming out of the bullpen to start the fourth. Runner at second with no outs. Birds lead it by 3. Johnson to the plate. Missed a little bit high there. I don't know if you saw that, Zach, but the reflection of Jalen Vasquez's sunglasses on top of his hat reflecting up here in our direction.
Yeah, that is incredible. I'm just seeing that right now. We even got a few of
the
infielders out there.
That's wild.
Catching the light at the right spot. But, yeah, it's coming right up back at us.
3-2 pitch from Johnson. Got him. Fastball upstairs. No chance for Pineda. And it's another strikeout in the book for Preston Johnson.
Man, Preston Johnson, I'm loving this fastball, and I'm loving the way he's working his off-speed in there. He's getting guys out in front, and then immediately as soon as he sees that vulnerability that they are kind of sitting back on fastball, get him out ahead with the breaking ball, and then immediately while they now have to think breaking ball, go right back inside with the fastball, gets another strikeout.
Here's Felix Reyes, the DH, with one out and a man at second. Fastball catches the top of the zone right there, and I mean, hey, if you're getting the call, you might as well live up top.
Yeah, and we've seen this from both pitchers, Wells and Johnson. They are at their best right now when they're working that fastball in the upper half of the zone and then letting the breaking ball play down and really change the hitter's eye level.
0-1, fouled away its own two. Well, Johnson was a College World Series hero for Mississippi State a couple years back. Won the College World Series over Vanderbilt. And he got the win in game 2 of that CWS, went 5 innings in relief. And he pitched in an elimination game. Mississippi State was down 1-0 in the series. Johnson's efforts helped them win game 2, and they went on to win game 3 over Enrique Bradfield Jr. and Carter Young's Vanderbilt squad that year. 0-2 in the dirt. Willems does a good job keeping that one in front, and the count goes to 1-2.
Yeah, so we see once again he's trying to work that breaking ball down in the zone, have it fall off the plate, and then immediately into the dirt. Beautiful play there by Creed Willems. Not only great hair, not only a great arm, he's got the chops behind the plate as well to stop the ball. And I got to say, I'm looking fastball up in the zone again. I think that's where he's got to live right here.
Long pause from Johnson. 1-2, breaking ball ripped down the left field line, hooking towards the corner. It bangs off of the middle of that left field wall, and it's extra bases for Reyes. He slides in, and he's thrown out at second. Wow, tried to stretch a single into a double. He picks up an RBI. But what a throw from Ryan Higgins, an outfield assist from deep in the left field corner.
He shouldn't be able to do that. That, absolutely, I'm almost at a loss for words. It looked like it was a stand-up double, and I believe that's what the Blue Claws were thinking as well. And then suddenly, just out of nowhere, Higgins with a bullet out of left field. Almost, we couldn't even see where he was, you know. He's all the way out in the corner, gets the guy at second. Impressive throw there.
Ryan Higgins with an absolute seed from the left field corner. Just showing him on the MILB stream right now. Yeah, give that man his TV time. What a throw. I mean, that was on the money. It had to be. And, you know, I think, you know, we're thinking that stand-up double easily. It probably should have been. But that throw beat him by a good full, you know, stride length.
Yeah, not only is that an incredible throw, Higgins started tonight at first base. Obviously, when Trimble goes down, he switches out to left field, but he didn't even start the game in left field. He's making plays out there.
Popped up to the left side, should end the inning, and who else but Ryan Higgins racing in, and he makes the catch to retire the side. Well, the Blue Claws get a run on the Reyes RBI single, but it easily could have been a double. Ryan Higgins taking care of business in left field, and the inning is over. Well, Preston Johnson appreciating those efforts, and he is through three innings of one-run ball. So we'll head to the home six. It's the Birds 5 and the Blue Claws 3. Stay with me and Zach on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the sixth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds lead it by 2. It's 5-3 Birds over the Claws in game 2 of this six-game series. Carter Young, Jalen Vasquez, and Ryan Higgins, 6-7-8, due up against right-handed reliever Christian Hernandez. Young takes a strike. It's 0-1. Hernandez takes over for Gene Cabrera, who gave up 5 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. 0-1 pitch to Young right there as well. It's 0-2. 83 pitches, 54 strikes for Cabrera. So he is done in what has been his toughest outing of the season. The Birds really got to him tonight for those 5 early runs. And now Christian Hernandez, who misses up and away. Count is 1-2 on Carter Young, who's looking to get into the action offensively. He is 0-for-1 with a walk and a run tonight.
Yeah, and for Cabrera, obviously, Ironbirds get to him for a bunch of runs tonight, but really only the one play as Young sneaks one through there for the single. Really only one pitch I think he's going to regret, and that's the ball to Horvath that got the double or triple down the gap. But besides that, really just a great all-around game. Nothing really left the infield. A lot of players reaching on infield singles, bobbled balls, and then a few broken bat loops into the outfield. And hustle plays back and forth by the Ironbirds really just created some of these runs and made it so Cabrera always had to be pitching with men on base.
A lot of traffic on the bases tonight, and that continues here with Hernandez out there. As Young takes off for second, pitch called a strike, throw is in time, is the tag in time it is. So Carter Young thrown out trying to get in scoring position here in the sixth inning. It's a heck of a throw from Andrick Nava to get that one down there right where he needed it to be, and then a nice job by Kemp, the second baseman, to sweep that tag and get Young trying for the back corner of the bag.
Yeah, Young had no shot there. Nava with an absolute seed there. That is as beautiful as it will get when it comes to a catcher throwing out a base runner. We've actually seen a few guys now. Creed Williams on one side, and now Nava, two guys who have shown off the arm strength a bunch so far today. Even on players that they haven't got, base stealers, it's right there on the money every time.
Vasquez chased a high fastball, so he's down on strike. So two gone here in the sixth, and that brings up Ryan Higgins, who threw an absolute on-the-money dime to second base to get Felix Reyes trying to stretch a single into a double in the last half inning. So an outfield assist for Ryan, and then he fought the wind and that you know, the high sky with the lights to put away the third out on that fly ball to shallow left to end the inning. He takes outside, but we are seeing some guys show off the hoses tonight, not just from behind the plate, but in that outfield corner as well.
Yeah, and I would even say the third basemen are putting on a show. We've had a few guys there who have thrown some great balls across the diamond to make some tough plays. So all around, a lot of arm talent on the field today. And it's just one of those situations where baseball's funny. Higgins makes the incredible play in the outfield, then gets the last out in the inning. And, of course, he's going to come up here, maybe try to extend this incredible sixth inning for him.
You and MLB The Show guy, you play MLB The Show?
Of course.
You know how one of, like, the like the computer-generated like sayings is, guy makes a nice play in the field and comes up to bat in the next inning all the time. I say that all the time.
That's actually what was going through my head really? While I said that. That was 90% of the reason that I said that, actually.
That's
so
incredible.
So we'll see if Higgins can do a lot more than what I would do in MLB The Show, because I probably would have swung at that pitch in the other batter's box.
You know what I love in MLB The Show? When Matt Vasgersian, when he says, when a guy spikes one into the in front of the plate, he's like, and about a 58-foot breaking ball.
Yeah.
I love that one, too. 2-2, swing and a miss. Well, that was not a 58-foot breaking ball. That was some cheddar. And Higgins is down on strikes to end what was not a 1-2-3 home sixth, but the Birds send just the minimum three to the plate in that inning. And now we are through six full here in the Dean. No runs, no one hit, no errors, no one left. We'll head to the seventh. Birds still lead at 5-3. We'll see if they can keep it that way. Stay with me and Zach on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Coming back at you for the top of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen, it's the Ironbirds 5 and the Blue Claws 3. Well, the Claws grabbed a run in the top of the sixth. The Birds went down quietly in the home half. But the Birds still own that two-run advantage, and the way Preston Johnson is throwing the baseball, it looks like that'll stand up moving forward. Andrick Nava, Zach Arnold, and Eric Brito, 6-8 in the Blue Claws lineup. Johnson back to work for his fourth inning in relief, three innings of one-run ball so far. And Zach, he has racked up four strikeouts.
Yeah, he's just overpowering hitters with his fastball right now, and he's making beautiful off-speed pitches in the lower half of the zone, so guys really can't get on top of anything. And right there, living up above the zone, gets the batter to swing through it. Nava tips it a little bit, but that's exactly what Johnson's hoping for. Get him across early. All of a sudden, now they have to look out for the high fastball. Now he can work in some breaking stuff around the edges.
A one from the big right-hander popped up left side of the diamond. Horvath and Vasquez ranging into foul ground, and it's Horvath, the third baseman, who puts it away for out number one. Well, Zach, I know one of the things that you've done with social media and building that following, you're producing an Orioles bullpen rest graphic that you're tweeting out after every Orioles game, or at least trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to get the fans involved, keep people updated, keep them in the know with what's going on with the with the O's bullpen. So how did that start? How did you decide to do that?
Actually, and it's something that I tell people all the time. It actually came from somebody just simply tweeting at me under one of my tweets and being like, "Hey, I really don't know what guys are available in the bullpen each day. can you? And she was like, could you help me out? Like, what? Who's available right now? And I made the first one, and I was like, hey, you know, here's where everyone sits right now in the past few days. And it's changed over the time. You know, at first it was past 5 days. I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So we did past three to really get guys more realistic of who's available and who's not. And it's just, you know, it's something that takes a few minutes every day, but I truly, if it helps a few people here and there being able to, like, oh, we have a super rested bullpen, or, man, we need the star to go a little bit longer today. Just there to help everyone out a little bit.
A man of the people. I think that's what it comes down to, helping the Twitter faithful, the Birdland faithful out a little bit. Count is 2-2 on Arnold with one out, no one on here in the top of the seventh. Birds lead it by two. It's pitched from Johnson in around the hands, and it missed. It's 3-2. I think it's just really cool, like, hearing the story of how that happened. You know, somebody just tweeted you,
yeah,
and now you're doing this on a pretty much daily basis.
Yeah, it is. It's funny because at the time I did not think it would become something. I was like, okay, yeah, no, I'll do this next few days, just see how it goes. And people pretty quickly grew in favor to it, and they're like, hey, we really like this. Can you continue to do it? And if people want it, if people help, you know, if it helps people, I'll take time to do that stuff any day.
Chopper out to short. Arnold retired on the 6-3 put out. Two up, two down for Johnson here in the seventh. That brings up Eric Brito. Well, I just think it's really cool how you've been able to connect with so many people through social media. And, you know, that's how you connected with Ryan. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the other people that you've been able to not only develop working relationships with, but also friendships with over the last few months.
Yeah, it is. It's truly incredible. Just as something as simple as putting out there when I'm at an Oriole game, or even back in Ravens season when we'd go to Ravens games, it's really cool to see just how tight-knit the community is for, you know, Ravens Twitter, Orioles Twitter, yeah, and people coming up to you and be like, hey, you know, I follow you on Twitter, whatever it may be. And then usually a lot of times I'm like, I actually know exactly who you are. And those type of relationships are super cool, just being able to see people in person that you've interacted with over the years on social media. And then obviously with the Ryan Ripken Show, I get to talk to a lot of really cool people, you know, whether it's athletes, guys that used to be athletes or now coaching, GMs, whatever it may be. It's super cool to really connect everyone and be sort of that middle of, you know, I do cover the team and stuff like that, but on the inside I do still feel like a fan.
2-1, big swing and a big miss as Preston Johnson ramps up on the heater. And he is working his way towards his second 1-2-3 inning of the night, talking to Zach Bollinger, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show. He's been in the booth with me all night as my first guest color commentator of the season. It's been a fun one. And Zach, you're setting the bar high for the guests the rest of the year.
I'm trying. I'm really looking for an off-speed outside here as he goes right back up. That one, he is narrowly avoiding these batters over the past few pitches. But now that you've established that inside fastball, I think you got to go outside,
yeah,
outside breaking ball here, because I don't see a scenario where Brito feels comfortable in the batter's box right now.
3-2 pitch coming up from Johnson, and another one fouled, yeah, back. Well, he's hanging tough. Got to get your boy Ryan in the booth this year.
Yeah, you have to.
Got to bring him back.
Yeah, Ryan, if you're out there, why come on, I've already set the bar now. You just have to meet it or exceed those expectations. But man, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Johnson right here. How he just trusts his fastball and
3-2, and he racks up another punch out. A half-hearted check swing. Johnson dishing out swords tonight. And the inning is over. A 1-2-3 seventh. Brito down on strikes. We'll go to the home half of the seventh. It's time to stretch here in the Dean. Wells and Johnson turning in seven strong innings for the Birds tonight. So we'll go to that home seventh with the Birds leading 5-3. Stay locked in on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the bottom of the seventh inning here in the Dean. It's Aberdeen 5, Jersey Shore 3. The Birds have held a steady lead since they scored three runs in the bottom of the third. They haven't scored since then, but they have maintained that advantage. And here is Isaac De Leon, the nine-hole hitter, then back to the top for Josenberger and Prado. Against left-handed reliever Wesley Moore, third pitcher of the night for Jersey Shore, he takes over for Christian Hernandez, who worked a scoreless sixth inning, picked up two strikeouts. Now De Leon takes a curveball in for strike one, 0-1. Well, Preston Johnson has fired four innings of one-run ball in relief with five strikeouts and no walks, two Ironbirds pitchers tonight, Wells and Johnson. 11 strikeouts, just two walks between them. And now De Leon takes a fastball in the inner half, looked inside, but it is a strike, 0-2.
Yeah, De Leon not happy with that call, definitely seeing if that's as far in as the zone is going to get for him tonight.
Well, Isaac steps out, trying to regroup before the next pitch he sees from Moore. Get you some numbers on Moore here in just a minute. But he is on for the first time this series. Next pitch, tap foul.
But right there, Moore goes right back to the wall on that inside fastball. He says, hey, if I can get that call once, let's see if I can get it again. Forces De Leon to have to swing there just out of pure protection.
Last pitched on April 19th at home against Brooklyn. Two innings of a one-run ball with five strikeouts. 0-2, De Leon chased a breaking ball, so he has gone on strikes. And that's out number one. We'll go back to the top for Tavian Josenberger. Well, I've got Zach Bollinger, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, here with me on the broadcast. Zach, when you're at Camden Yards, let's say you're just there chilling as a fan watching the game, where are your favorite spots in the ballpark to either hang out or go grab a bite or a drink?
I will say the center field bar has gotten, I think that's been incredible. Over the past few years, I've really liked going up there. It's got a great view of the, just kind of, you get the outfield looking in, you get to see a lot of the batter, just really taking it in from a higher point of view of the rest of the stadium. But I am a big sucker. I will say I like sitting in the upper deck. I don't know if it's because I did that most of my life, but I love seeing the entire field, getting able to see all the action, and just kind of taking it all in.
0-1, Josenberger sends one in the air to straightaway central, and Crawford ranges back to put it away. So Josenberger batting from the right side against the lefty. Moore is retired. Two up, two down. That brings up Elio Prado. Well, I love Camden Yards. So I'm from the Philadelphia area. I've grown up a Phillies fan. So spent a lot of my early years at Veterans Stadium and then Citizens Bank Parks ever since 2004. It's been around for 20 years. Wow, I'm getting old. But I've always loved Camden Yards since the first time I went there when I was in high school. It's my favorite ballpark. And it's not just because I'm calling games in the Orioles minor league system, but it is just such a great ballpark to watch a game at.
Yeah, and I personally, I love standing on the flag court. That's another thing. Just because of the amount of home runs hit out there, it's always great. And then walking down Utah Street, you get to see the plaques of all the home runs hit out there. It's just a really cool piece of history. If you get there early, just go there, kind of just wander around. You get to see the new plaques put up, and then you get to see plaques of balls that were hit there in the early 2000s. And you're like, I didn't realize this guy played at Camden Yards, and here's this home run ball he hit on a random Tuesday in 2001.
So here's Elio Prado. Count is 1-2. Two gone, no one on. Birds lead it by two here in the home seventh, looking for some insurance runs. Birds have not scored since the third. 1-2. Prado dribbles one back to the mound off of Moore's glove. He falls down, and it's an infield single for Prado. Ball trickled behind Moore out in front of where the shortstop would be playing, and nobody could get there. So an infield single for Prado, and he finds a way on with two down.
Yeah, Moore tried to pull the little back bend to try to get the glove down, and he almost did it. Trickles off the glove there, but man, what an athletic play there. If I did try to do that, I would probably be on the IL for the next 15 days.
That's why they have that IL.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got to go on it. So here with two down is Mac Horvath. Ripped a triple in the early innings, and big cut there. It's 0-1 now. So Horvath is 1-for-2, a sac fly in the first, on a ball that just kept carrying to deep right, went to the warning track, and then the triple to deep left center in the third. You know, in some ballparks, that ball might have gotten out. Maybe a couple months from now, when it's warmer out, that ball might have carried out. But Horvath settled for a three-bagger. 0-1, and he pops it up behind home plate. And that one is into the seats. What's your favorite thing to grab to eat at Camden Yards? A lot of good food options.
Okay, well, I do have to tell the story of went with the Ryan Rifkin show about a week ago, and we got the new warehouse dog, which is a foot-long hot dog with just a bunch of stuff on it. It's got, you know, fried onions. It's got, you know, queso on it. It's got all this stuff. And I do have to say is, oh, we'll see if maybe create...
Prado was picked off, but he's able to pick up second on the stolen base because the throw from the first baseman, Pineda, was wide, and I think even an accurate throw, he might have gotten there.
Yeah, that was just a beautiful play by Prado. Gets picked off, but immediately he says, okay, well, it's going to take a perfect throw and a perfect tag to get me out. Doesn't hesitate, takes off immediately, and doesn't get the perfect throw, so now he's sitting on second base, and now we have a runner in scoring position for Horvath.
So stolen base for Prado, didn't get it the traditional way. But the Birds have a shot to bring home an insurance run. Now Elio takes off for third as Horvath yanks one foul down the third base line. Well, that's what they tell you growing up playing baseball. Like, if you're picked off, you might as well just keep going because,
yeah,
you know, going back to the bag isn't going to do you much good. So might as well give it a shot, keep going, make the first baseman or, you know, if you get picked off second, go to third, make the second baseman or shortstop, make a perfect throw to the next bag.
Yeah, and, you know, when you have a guy – going down the line like Prado was there, obviously the first baseman has to avoid Prado on the throw, so makes it a little bit more pressure, last second thing, and Prado's able to get in because, you know, pressure makes diamonds or it bursts pipes, and there we saw it burst some pipes for the Blue Claws.
I like that saying right there. Horvath just took that last pitch low and in, so the count is 1-2. Mac has a chance to drive in his third run of the night. He has a couple 3 RBI games already this season. When he drives guys in, he does it in bunches. Prado with a decent lead is being held close to second. 1-2. Chopper to the left side. Brito, the shortstop, has it. Long throw across the diamond. No shot. And it's an infield single for Mac Horvath. I thought the base umpire, Travis Brewer, just called him out there. But I think he was just headed over towards third base. I thought he was about to walk off the field. I'm thinking, what just happened?
Yeah, at first
it's an infield knock, though.
Saw the exact same thing you did, and I was like, he was safe by a pretty decent amount there. So glad to see he gets that base anyway. But one of those situations, if Prado's on first there, ground ball deep in the hole to the shortstop, maybe he's got to play at second base. Instead, he's forced to throw the long throw across the diamond, and Horvath's hustle beats it out.
Here's Etzel, takes a strike, 0-1. Second multi-hit game of the season for Mac Horvath. So he is at first. 2 infield singles with 2 outs for the Birds here in the home 7th. They lead it by 2. Can they add any more? Left on left for Wesley Moore on Etzel. And that next pitch misses outside. Count is 1-1. So Prado was breaking for second when he started to talk about the warehouse dog. So we'll try to fit that story in before the end of this inning.
Yeah, so it is a foot-long hot dog with way too much on top of it. So, of course, all 4 of us who were there that day each got our own. And it's one of those, taste is incredible. It's an incredible hot dog. A foot long of it, you start after you complete it, you're like, that was not the move. Like, you should definitely split it with someone. I do not recommend downing the entire thing by yourself because at first we were like, you know, this is good. It's not too bad. And then about an inning and a half later, I was like, I need to go sit down somewhere.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, they've got something like that here in Aberdeen at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. They've got the Porkinator, which is something similar. You know, you've got it loaded with stuff on top. It's a foot-long dog. Might have to have you and the crew come out here and try that.
Let's make it happen. We'll have our food testing portion of the show as well.
We could do some really fun social media content with that for sure. 2-2, that's chops and foul. I mean, that's a lot. I have a lot of respect to you guys for going in on that hot dog, like each getting your own. I mean, like you said, it's a foot-long hot dog.
It was, I will say, it was a last-second kind of pivot. We got in line with the expectation that we would get 2 and each of us would split it, and then it was just the trickle effect. One person starts I think I'm going to get my own, see if I can do it. And then once he says he wants to try to down it by himself, everyone's like, well, I guess now we all have to see if we can do it. And successfully unsuccessful. You know, it was we completed the task. I don't know if it was a reward or not for completing the task. It definitely did not feel like a reward after.
3-2 pitch missed outside, so Horvath to second. Etzel works the walk. So now from no one on in 2 outs to bases loaded in 2 outs. and Creed Williams is due up. Well, that's one of those things where it's a W, but it's really a loss. You know what I mean? Like, you know, nobody's winning with that.
No, you don't win at all when you're in that situation. Like, obviously on social media, I put out that we had completed it, and people were like, oh, how was it? And, like, the responses you could tell as the timestamps went just got worse and worse. It was like, actually, it's pretty good. You know, it's great taste. And that's like, great taste. Wouldn't recommend the whole thing. And then towards the end, it was like, you need 2 to 3 friends if you want to eat this hot dog.
Blue Claws meeting on the mound to try to get out of this jam. Well, you got to round up the crew, bring them out to Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. We'll get you guys to do the Porkinator challenge. That could be so. That could be. A really
I think
fun
this
thing.
Has to happen now.
I think it has
it's got,
to. Happen.
It's got to happen now. We're going to make this happen.
We're
so.
Talking about it live on air. It has to.
Yeah,
happen.
That's the rules in broadcast. When said live on air, it has to happen. So, hope everyone else on the show is listening and understands the task at hand now.
Here's Creed Williams with the bags full of birds here in the bottom of the seventh. Left on left task for Williams as he takes a first pitch strike. It's 0-1. Well, Creed has had an excellent start to his 2024 season. Came into tonight's game slashing .298, .353, .702. He has 9 extra base hits on the year, including 5 homers. How about number 6 in grand fashion? The count's now 0-2. Really would love to see that right now, break this thing wide open.
Yeah, that would. I think everyone in this stadium would like to see that right now. Creed Williams with incredible power leading the team in home runs, and it's just one swing of the bat, and he can take this thing and really just break it open.
No balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs, bases loaded. Outside corner with a fastball, it missed, 1-2. Well, Williams entering tonight's game with a .702 slugging percentage, 47 points higher than the Asheville Tourists' Colin Price, who was in second place in the South Atlantic League in slugging. That's impressive.
Yeah, and Creed Williams was a guy that back when he was drafted out of high school, the Orioles really made a focus on wanting to make sure he was one of the guys that signed. He was a priority in that draft, and you can see why in situations like this where Williams, over 1,000 OPS, obviously, like you said, leading the league in slugging, and just an impressive bat that seems like the power just keeps growing as the years go and he gets bigger.
1-2, low and away, it's 2-2. And yeah, that's a great point because Williams was an 8th-round pick out of high school, mm-hmm. and he was committed to play college baseball at TCU.
Yeah.
And we've seen so often in the last few years, if you go play 3 years of D1 baseball, that gets you ready to fly up a minor league system. But the O's got him to sign. They prioritized him. Mm-hmm. Swings over a 2-2 breaking ball there. But it's good to see this guy really shining in the 2024 season so far. Well, that's it for the Birds in the home seventh. They sent 6 to the plate, but they left the bases loaded. No runs on 2 hits, no errors, and 3 left on. But after 7 full, the Birds still lead at 5-3. We'll head to the top of the 8th after a quick break on MILB-TV Bally Live and WAMD Aberdeen. Top of the 8th inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Ironbirds 5, Blue Claws 3, game 2 of 6 this week. The Birds took the series opener 9-3 last night. 9-2, that is. I was looking at the three on the scoreboard tonight for Jersey Shore. 5-3 Ironbirds so far tonight. And right-hander Luis Sanchez is out of the Birds bullpen. He gets Cade Fergus, Justin Crawford, and Otto Kemp, 9-1-2. So Sanchez, the third pitcher of the night for the Birds. Preston Johnson exits after four really strong innings in relief. Now Sanchez in the eighth. We'll see if he goes the final two. But right now, just worried about the eighth. First pitch fastball on the outer half to Fergus, and the count is 0-1.
And talk about an electric fastball. I mean, we're talking over during the break. Tops out at 100 miles an hour, 101 actually. And, man, this kid, if he gets his fastball going and he can find the strike zone, it is tough for hitters to see.
Four-seam fastball, changeup, sweeper, three-pitch mix for Sanchez. He's got Fergus down in the count, 0-2. Next pitch, low and away, pulled the fastball there. I mean, only a three-pitch mix, but when you can throw triple digits, you don't really need that much else.
Yeah, if you throw triple digits, if you have an electrifying fastball, I would say the second most important pitch you could have is a changeup. Just getting guys off their rhythm, you know, something that looks similar to the fastball but just has a drastic change in speed can really screw up a hitter's mind. And so if he can perfect that changeup, he's going to have a really nice career ahead of him.
So from 0-2 to 3-2 as he misses outside of the sweeper. Sanchez, just 21 years old from the Dominican Republic, 6 feet tall. In his third professional season, this is his sixth appearance of the 2024 campaign. 3-2, missed inside. That's ball four. That's just the third walk issued by the Ironbirds pitching staff tonight. Wells and Johnson combined for 11 strikeouts and only two walks. We'll get you the final line on Johnson. Four innings of one-run ball, but that one run was unearned. He scattered three hits, struck out five, and did not walk anybody. 58 pitches, 37 strikes. He was really good tonight.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely awesome. He was exactly what the Ironbirds wanted to come in after. Wells doesn't go that deep into the game and then immediately comes in and shuts the door, like you said, just keeping the lead intact. And now you hand it off Sanchez and hope that he can get out of this.
First pitch to Crawford, missed outside. Count is 1-0. Crawford's the tying run right now. Next pitch to the plate, fastball right down the middle. It's 1-1. It doesn't feel like it, but This is a really close game right now. It just feels like the Ironbirds have, you know, handedly outplayed the Blue Claws tonight, out hitting them 10-5, but only leading by two, and this is a big spot in the game. 1-1 outside.
Yeah, it just feels like the Ironbirds have had guys on at every single turn of the game. They always have guys and runners in scoring position with guys up, but give the Blue Claws pitchers credit. They've done a great job of working out of jams.
2-1, fouled back, it's 2-2. Well, if he can get Crawford right here, that would be an absolutely massive out number one here in the eighth. Not only because you want that first out here in the eighth, but Crawford's one of the most electric talents in this South Atlantic League. Got to keep him off base.
Yeah, and with his speed, if he gets on first, he's tying the game on any ball in the gap.
2-2, fought off down the third baseline, foul. Another hot shot. He was a little bit late on that one, and when a guy throws as hard as Sanchez, I can understand. I can reason with that.
Yeah, definitely I'm not going to fault a guy for being a little late on 101. That's tough to get around on, but definitely seeing him late here, I would love to see if Sanchez can work some sort of breaking ball in here to try to get him off balance.
Sanchez set 2-2. Breaking ball popped up, shallow left center. Here comes Higgins. Glove fake, he can't get there. And it's a base hit for Justin Crawford. Well, Higgins had a long way to go. He was deep.
Yeah, and that's a tough one for Sanchez. You got exactly what you were hoping for. Honestly, the off-speed was elevated more than you hoped. Still got a great result on it in the pop-up. But, man, gotta love baseball. Right place, right time for Justin Crawford. Bloops it over the shortstop's head and lands safely in left field.
So a walk and a bloop single. Tying runs at first. Go ahead run at the plate. Here's Otto Kemp. Birds 5, Claws 3. Pitch outside. And Sanchez trying to find the strike zone here. But you've got a young live arm out there who is just trying to get a feel for pitching at this higher level. Made his high A debut against the Jersey Shore Blue Claws the first week of the season. And so far has logged 3 2/3 over 5 appearances. 1-0, that's a little bit low. It's 2-0. Sanchez last pitched On April 19th at Hudson Valley, he pitched twice in that series. On the 19th, he logged a scoreless inning with a strikeout. So it was good to see him turn it that impressive outing.
And, you know, we talked about this actually before the game even started. Last year, the Ironbirds, when they were leading after seven innings, it was almost automatic. Only had four losses last year when leading after seven innings. This year, they're already sitting at 6-3 when leading after seven. So you would love for them to be able to put this game away. But kind of a theme this year so far has been letting teams kind of hang around in those late innings and then take them at the end.
2-1 pitch, missed outside. It's 3-1. That's a great point. 42-4 last year when leading after seven innings. So it was pretty much automatic. And the Ironbirds pitching staff last year, most of those guys at Double-A Bowie right now, I mean, so many guys out of that bullpen that just got big outs, outing after outing. Birds bullpen looking for some consistency tonight, and it helps when Sanchez can come back with a 3-1 fastball and get it over there. That was a huge pitch.
Yeah. That, if he doesn't get that over, it's a walk. We have the bases loaded. Actually, Otto Kemp started taking off the shin guard. He thought that ball was a little high. Ump says, no, that's a strike, and we will play with 3-2.
First and second, no outs. 3-2 pitch coming. This is the biggest pitch of the night to this point in the game. Here it is. Chopper to the left side. Vasquez waits back. Backhands it. Throws to first in time. Both runners advance, but the Ironbirds will take that out. And there is one down here in the eighth.
Yeah, especially we talked about Crawford's speed. There was no chance on a bouncer. You were getting him at second. At that point, take your losses. Go get the runner at first. And now you just hope that you can make something happen. Tying run, though, is at second with a lot of speed out there.
Well, after that last pitch from Sanchez, there's some concern as the entire Ironbirds infield gathers. Ironbirds manager Felipe Alou Jr., pitching coach, is out as well. That is, and the assistant athletic trainer Riley Sanders out as well. So all three of them out to check on Sanchez, who appears to be a little bit shaken up or hopefully not injured after that last pitch, but it's a tough one. You got manager Felipe Alou Jr., pitching coach Jordy Henry, and assistant athletic trainer Riley Sanders all out on the mound. The entire Birds infield is gathered around Sanchez, hoping that the young right-hander is okay. So Felipe is out there, one, to check on his pitcher to see if he's okay, but also to translate.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued with what they're talking about here. You see that it looks like Sanchez is raising his left arm, trying to point out something, but I'm not quite sure what they're checking on right now.
We've got some time here, and Zach, while the contingent talks things over out on the mound, we've got a good one. It's 5-3 Ironbirds over the Blue Claws, top of the eighth inning. Tying run is at second, second and third with one down, so a huge spot in the game. But, Zach, you've had the honor of joining me as my first guest color commentator of the season. And how has the experience been on your end so far?
This is absolutely incredible so far. Obviously, it helps to have a great game going on like we do. But this has been absolutely amazing. Super fun out here. And you just great talking ball with you throughout the game.
Talking ball is the best thing to do. I mean, there's just nothing like being able to sit at a baseball game and watch, but when you get a chance to put the headset on, I mean, there's that adrenaline rush. There's just that, you know, when that red light's on, that on-air light comes on, you know, it's, you know, you're putting on a show and it's fun. So to have you here to talk ball with, it's been really fun tonight.
Yeah, as we see, Sanchez is going to come out of the game, so hopefully nothing too bad there. Definitely something we got to keep an eye on, but the Ironbirds are going to have to make a move to the pen here, so guy comes in with tying run on second. Let's see if they can get out of it.
So we'll take a quick break, but right now the Ironbirds lead the Blue Claws 5-3. We're in the top of inning number 8. Runners at second and third for the Blue Claws. It is Fergus at third, Crawford at second. And the Birds have a chance to get out of this inning with nobody coming home, but the Blue Claws threatening to not only score the tying run, the runner at second base, but a chance to take the lead depending on what goes in. But left-hander Davey Cruz is coming in. He'll have as much time as he needs to loosen up after Sanchez exits with an apparent injury. But Sanchez gone after a third of an inning. Take a break and tell you more about Cruz and the rest of this situation when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Left-hander Davey Cruz is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds here in the top of the eighth inning. The Birds lead the Blue Claws 5-3, but the Claws are threatening. Runners at second and third with one out. Right-hander Luis Sanchez just exited with an apparent injury, and now Cruz, the only left-hander on the Ironbirds roster, in to face Leandro Pineda. Infield remains back for the Birds with a two-run lead, and Pineda grounds one foul past the first base bag. Well, that one was close, but it was foul.
That was real close. I can't. From this angle, at first, I was like, "Oh boy!" But it does sneak over into foul territory. And man, you said that about Cruz being the only lefty in the bullpen, and that is kind of crazy.
So a left on left situation, a right-handed batter on deck. Cruz looking for the final two outs of this eighth, and to try to keep it a 5-3 game. He's set high leg kick, 0-1 inside, missed. He's got a fastball, a changeup, and a sweeper. Cruz sits about 90 to 92. He's topped at 93. 270 ERA through four appearances, all out of the bullpen so far this year. Two earned in 6 2/3. Eight strikeouts, three walks for him. Trying to bear down here.
You would love to get a strikeout here.
1-1, nasty pitch there.
That was beautiful.
Way ahead of that one.
Yeah, that change looks like change up on the outside corner and completely fooled Pineda.
So the count's 1-2 on Pineda with one out. Birds could really use that punch out like you mentioned, Zach. Cruz set, has his sign, 1-2. Breaking ball sent in the air to deep center. Josenberger ranges back, makes the catch. Throw goes to third. Both runners tag. The throw to third a little bit late. It's a sacrifice fly for Leandro Pineda, and it's a 5-4 game. So Fergus in to score from third, and Crawford made it to third pretty easily.
Another productive out by the Blue Claws. We talked about with the Ironbirds. They've scored a lot of runs on productive outs, getting guys over, getting guys in, and there's two of them for the Blue Claws right there. Get the guy on first and second to start the inning. A ground ball forces them to get guys at second and third, and then a fly out to get the guy in. One-run game with the tying run now 90 feet from home.
That's the scenario right now as Felix Reyes fouls one back. It's 0-1. 5-4, Birds still lead it. They've led since they scored three in the third, but they have not scored since. Cruz trying to get the final out of the inning before Crawford comes home. 0-1, grounder to second, should end the inning. Young stays down on it, shuffles, throws to first, inning over. Nice job by Davey Cruz to retire the only two batters he faced in the top of the eighth. And we'll head to the home half of the eighth with the Birds leading by one. See if they can get some much-needed insurance before we go to the ninth. So the home eighth is on deck. Stay locked in with me and Zach on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Birds lead it 5-4 over the Blue Claws, home half of the eighth inning. Claws grabbed a run in the top of the eighth, but that is it. The tying run stranded at third. Davy Cruz did a good job getting out of the jam that Luis Sanchez worked into. And now Carter Young, Jalen Vasquez, and Ryan Higgins will try to get the Birds some insurance runs. Against right-hander Charles King, fourth pitcher of the night for the Blue Claws. Counts 0-1 on Young. Took a first pitch fastball. Next pitch, fouled back. Well, Charles King is coming in throwing absolute smoke. And Young had to do everything he could just to fight that one off.
Yeah, and talk about a tall drink of water. 6'6" out on the mound, and that definitely makes it harder from a hitter's perspective when he's coming downhill already on you, and it feels like the ball gets on you a lot quicker.
0-2, breaking ball missed inside. Nava was ready to buzz that one around the horn, and
yeah.
You know, it looked pretty good, but no call there from the home plate umpire, John Forster, and now somebody from Blue Claw's dugout was chirping at him.
Yeah, if I'm King, I'm not happy with that call at all. Looked like he threw a perfect pitch there to fool Young, but Young gets the benefit of the doubt.
Now he chops one off of his front foot, dribbled it back to the mound, and the count stays at 1-2. Young's had a nice night at the plate. He is 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, and a run. He scored a run back in that second inning. The Birds grabbed a run in the first, a run in the second, 3 in the third. A bunch of zeros on the board since, but they still lead at 5-4. 1-2, that's high, ball two. Well, the Iron Birds have 10 hits tonight after a season-high tying 11 knocks last night. 5 of those hits last night were extra bases. So far tonight, mostly singles for Aberdeen, 2 extra base hits. As Young chases a breaking ball in the dirt, and he is down for out number 1.
Yeah, that's just a beautiful pitch there by King. Not much you can do there if you're Young. Gets out and ahead of it. And then it just falls off a table, hits him pretty much in the back foot, and that's just a tough walk back to the dugout. You just got to respect what King threw there. Great pitch.
Here's Jalen Vasquez, who drove in a run with a single back in the third. He takes a first pitch strike. It's 0-1. Birds 5, Claws 4. Birds out hitting the Claws 10-6. But it is a one-run game. It'll be at least a one-run game going to the top of the ninth, but the Birds would love some insurance runs. That pitch missed low to Jalen, and it's 1-1. Well, Jalen Vasquez clubbed his first career home run over the right field wall in last night's game. It was a towering drive with one on in the bottom of the seventh, and that capped off a 9-run outburst for the Birds last night. Next pitch is a called strike, 1-2.
Yeah, you would love to get Vasquez on here, especially even if it is just a single. Getting him on first, he's got speed, 7 stolen bases on the year, so he is a threat the second he gets on base to go take another and get into scoring position to try to extend this lead for the Ironbirds.
1-2, outside corner, a called strike 3. Tough one there, but Vasquez gone on strikes, and this Jersey Shore pitching staff has locked it down since the third.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about it's got to be frustrating for this pitching staff as well because a lot of these runs that have come against them, not a lot of balls leaving the infield. Horvath really with the two best hit ones, the sacrifice fly that found the warning track, and then the triple into the center left field gap.
Higgins 2-for-3 tonight. He's 6-for-his-last-14, but he pops one up to shallow right field here. And that one caught by the right fielder, Fergus, inning over. So a quick 1-2-3 bottom of the eighth inning. Birds go down quietly, but they have a chance to close it out in the top of the ninth. We'll see if it's Cruz or another reliever. But we are headed for the ninth after this quick break on the Birds Broadcast Network. 5-4 Birds, top 9 next. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger back with you on the broadcast. Top of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. It's the Ironbirds 5 and the Blue Claws 4. The Ironbirds have not scored since the bottom of the third inning when they grabbed 3 runs in that frame, but they've maintained the lead since then. And left-hander Davy Cruz is back out for the ninth to try to protect this one-run lead and finish off the Ironbirds' third straight win. Luis Sanchez exited after a third of an inning in the eighth with an injury. Cruz retired the only two batters he faced in the eighth, stranded that tying run at third base, and now he gets Troy Schreffler, Andrick Nava, and Zach Arnold, 5, 6, and 7 in the Blue Claws lineup here in the ninth. Three outs away from a W, Cruz's first pitch of the inning is a fastball on the outer half for a strike. It's 0-1. Well, Zach, big inning here for the Birds. They've locked it down defensively, and the pitching has been really good. Just a matter of getting 3 more outs.
Yeah, you're 3 outs away, and this is what we've talked about throughout the game. Can they finish these type of games where the bullpen comes in with a lead? Can you get the final outs that it takes to put this thing away? And we are 3 outs from it right now. You just hope that they can figure out some way to string together 3 outs before that run crosses home plate.
Here's Cruz's 0-2. Just got a piece of it. Schreffler fought that one away. And the count stays where it is. 5 runs on 10 hits, 1 error for the Birds. 4 runs on 6 hits, 1 error for the Claws. Been a really well-played game on both sides. A lot of back-and-forth scoring early. A lot of zeros on the scoreboard since. 0-2. Got him. Fastball outer half, and Cruz blew Schreffler away.
Yeah, and Schreffler's upset with that at-bat. I think he thought he had a few opportunities to maybe read the ball better out of Cruz's hand, and then right there just gets fooled with the fastball away, and there was nothing much he could do once he committed to that one.
3-up, 3-down for Cruz out of the pen. Here's the switch-hitting catcher, Nava, who flips around to the right side, and the Birds shift a little bit for him. All 4 infielders deep, and the third baseman, Horvath, is really hugging that line.
This is one of those situations, like we've talked about already this inning, where if you're Cruz, it's just getting outs. You don't care how they come, but you would take an out here any way you can get it. Obviously, strikeouts are fun as a pitcher, but you'd even take a long fly out. It's just get the outs any way that you can get them right now to get out of this game with a win.
1-1, swing and a miss, 1-2. Well, last night, Cameron Weston fired 4 2/3 shutout innings to extend his scoreless inning streak to 14 2/3. Tonight, Levi Wells, 2 runs in 3 innings with 6 strikeouts. Preston Johnson, 4 innings of 1-run ball. It's been an impressive run for the pitchers. And Cruz picks up another strikeout. Back-to-back punch-outs for Davy Cruz as Nava swung through that one. And the Birds are 1 out away from another W.
These guys just can't pick up Cruz right now. I mean, he is as deceptive as it gets right now, and I think that's why these hitters are going back, shaking their heads. They feel like it's out over the zone, and they're able to hit it. And then at the last second, it's falling off the table and getting them a strikeout.
Zach Arnold, the last hope for the Claws. He takes a first pitch sweeper on the outer half, and Cruz is just locked in right now. Everything breaking the way he wants it to, and he's consistently peppering the strike zone. 0-1 pitch coming up from the southpaw, missed outside there.
That's honestly the first pitch I feel like Cruz has not had full control over. Every other pitch, he pretty much is going exactly where Willems is setting up, exactly where Willems wants it. So we'll see how he responds here.
Here's Cruz's 1-1 outside again, so he let that fastball fly a little too far outside there.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the out that you really want. Obviously, it ends the game, but you do not want to get that tying run on first base, and then suddenly they get some guys in movement.
2-1, off the hands out to right, but it bloops into the seats foul. So count 2-2. So 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Birds lead at 5-4, top of the ninth. The Birds struggled against Jersey Shore last year. They are 2-2 against the Blue Claws so far this year. A chance to finish off the W. Here's Cruz, readies the 2-2, foul back. Because you can never have that 27th out on
never.
The first try.
Never. We've talked about this how many times tonight, that as soon as you get that build up, you're like, here it is, foul ball.
So we'll do the 2-2 again as Cruz looks to finish this thing off. Pitch. Another one ripped foul into the seats right side. I'm going to give dishing out a few more souvenirs before the end of this one.
Yeah, not even new souvenirs. How about we get a new bat? Seems like Arnold actually broke his bat there. He's walked back to the dugout to retrieve a new one. So not only are we giving out more balls to the fans, but we're causing Arnold to get another bat. So
there's some new lumber as Cruz looks to put away. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Birds lead it by one, trying to finish it off. Next pitch from Cruz. Got him. Pitch down in the zone, and Davy Cruz strikes out the side in order, and the Birds put another one in the win column. A 5-4 win for the Birds here on a cool Wednesday night in the Dean. It was a close one. The Birds didn't score over their final five innings at the plate, but the early runs were enough, and four pitchers took care of the rest. How about the job from Davy Cruz coming in because of the injury to Sanchez in the eighth inning? Inherited a second and third one-out jam. Tying run was at second. He retired all five batters he faced and finishes off a 5-4 win for the Birds tonight, Zach.
Absolutely incredible ninth inning there by Cruz, striking out the side. It looked like from the second he stepped onto the mound, he had a plan and he was executing it. Had full feel of every pitch. It felt like saw the fastball get away from him two times at the end. But besides that, every single pitch was exactly where he was hoping for. And I think when you don't have a guy who's got a lot of heat like Cruz, you know, only topping out at 93, it's more about pitching than it is throwing. It's having that command, knowing when to use it, knowing when to use what pitches. And he put on a masterful display of how to do that.
Well, before we give you the final totals in this one, let's take a quick wrap-up of what happened on the offensive side of things, because there was a lot of offense early in this one. The Birds got all five of their runs through the first three innings of this game. It started in the bottom of the first. Tavian Josenberger blooped a double to left. Matt Horvath brought him home with a sac fly. In the second inning, Reed Trimble legged out an infield single, and Carter Young scored all the way from second on it. And then three runs in the third for the Birds. They sent seven batters to the plate in that inning. It started with the Horvath RBI triple. Willems brought home a run with a single, and then Vasquez capped it off with an RBI single. Birds didn't score after that, but it didn't matter. A run for Jersey Shore in the first, third, sixth, and eighth innings, so they spread out their runs tonight, but it just was not enough. And the Birds finished off the W. On the pitching side of things, Levi Wells looked really good, a career-high six strikeouts in three innings. Preston Johnson, no earned runs, one run overall in four innings of work. Five strikeouts, no walks. I really like that ratio there. Luis Sanchez got one out in relief before he exited, and then Davy Cruz retired all five batters he faced in this one. Final totals in this one, 5 runs on 10 hits, one error for Aberdeen, 4 runs on 6 hits, one error for Jersey Shore. With the win, the Birds improved to 8-9 on the year, and they are now on their first three-game winning streak of the season. On the flip side, Jersey Shore drops to 8-9 as well. The win goes to Preston Johnson. He's 1-1. Gene Cabrera handed the loss. He drops to 2-1. Davy Cruz earns his first save at High A. Time of the game, 2 hours and 26 minutes. Played in front of 910 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium tonight. Well, it's been a really fun one, bringing you the action, Ironbirds fans. It's always fun, but it's so much more fun when the Ironbirds get in the win column. And on top of that, it's even more fun when I've got somebody in the booth with me, Zach Bollinger, my co-pilot tonight, riding shotgun here in the Dean, my first guest color commentator of the season. Zach, thanks for being here, man. This was so much fun on my end. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Yeah, I had an absolute blast. Obviously, like you said, it helps when the Ironbirds are winning, but we saw some great performances today across the board. Started with Wells getting what we said. We wanted to see the strikeouts get up and the walks lower. Gets that 3-1 ratio with the 6 strikeouts to 2 walks. And then, man, talk about the bullpen coming in. Johnson looked incredible, and then Cruz at the end, striking out the side. No better way to win a ball game than when your closer comes in to strike out the side. Saw a lot of great offensive things, a lot of hustle plays leading to runs throughout. Just some great baseball all around.
It was really fun to see the Ironbirds put together that W start to finish. Zach, before we sign off, something I wanted to ask you earlier but didn't get a chance. I mean, as quick as you can sum it up here at the end of the game on this post-game show, I mean, what are your long-term goals doing this media thing, you know, doing the show, the Ryan Ripken show, and then beyond?
It's to keep having fun. Every day I wake up and I just try to entertain people, try to give some sort of, you know, little tidbit here and there, help people enjoy the game of baseball, the game of football, and just sports in general, because sports have been everything to me throughout my life, you know, highs and lows, you have sports there, so just being able to eventually just keep growing my following, my platforms, and just at the end of the day, continue to bring people as much joy as I possibly can.
Well, I love that answer, and I think really that's why we're all in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I have so much fun every chance I get to call a game. When that red light goes on, when I have the headset on, I mean, it's just an instant. You snap into a different mindset, having fun reacting to what's live happening out on a baseball field. As for you guys doing the show, it's a little bit different, but you know, I love connecting with people in the broadcasting industry, in the sports media world, and you are just the first of many guests that I'm going to bring on in the sports media world with connections to Birdland and the Orioles and all that this year. And my man, if you're willing to come back, if you're looking to come back, we'd love to have you on again at some point this year.
We're going to have to do it.
We have to.
Especially, hey, we're 1-0 right now together. So, got to get a streak going.
I got to add something to the game notes, 1-0 when Zach is here.
Yeah, add that in. You know, we'll have underneath all this stuff. So now they move to 7-3 after leading after 7 and 1-0 when I'm in the booth. So there's the real stats.
Well, I got some messages to catch up on after this game, but I got some messages from our guy Ryan. Said he owes me a visit out here, so it's in writing. He's gonna owe me a visit. He's coming. So appreciate Ryan and everybody else who tuned in to hear you on the broadcast with me tonight. It was really fun. Birds win it 5-4 for my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and for my color commentator Zach Bollinger. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini. Have a great night, everybody. Final word from you, Zach, before we sign off.
Just what a night in Birdland.
Yeah. Can I get a go Birds?
Go Birds, baby.
Let's go. Thanks for flying with me, Zach. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. I'll be back on air tomorrow for the air show at 6:40 and then first pitch at 7:05 for game 3 of this 6-game series. Birds win it, looking for 4 in a row tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.